Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 12th day of July, year 2020. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is the awakening. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yah or Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Borada. Our callers will be welcome. At a later point in the broadcast here, we do ask that you maintain good decorum and watch your language as we have a mixed audience. And again, we do understand sometimes, especially in these trying times, that a colorful word might slip out from time to time. I myself am guilty of that. So we're not trying to be condescending for people who are passionate, okay? We need passion. In fact, what does our Savior say about the lukewarm? Okay, yeah, that's right. He's going to vomit the lukewarm out of his mouth. Think about that for a minute. You folks out there that have ever vomited, most of us have, more than once probably. Not a very pleasant experience, all that acid and nasty stuff coming up. That's what he thinks of the lukewarm. Okay, picture that in your mind. As you recollect the last time you threw up, just how awful that taste was. That's the taste of the lukewarm in the mouth of our Messiah. Okay? Our Commander-in-Chief, that's what he thinks of you. You know, they make fun of General George S. Patton, especially in the movie, because he slapped the shirker that was in the hospital tent. Okay, that's mild. The contempt that General Patton had for that shirker is mild compared to the contempt that the Savior has for the lukewarm. Just keep that in mind. Okay, the church world is full of prostitutes and really they're liars and deceivers. And they don't talk about such things, okay? That's why we started this program and we bring so many guests to it, because we want to talk about the things that nobody else wants to talk about, because that's what this is here. This is like church, if you want to call it that. It's just an assembly. The actual world church, the word church comes from an ancient word that means circle. And you can kind of see how that is possible, church, circle. It circles where the pagans used to get together. So now the pagans get together in whitewashed sepulchers, and they have a prostitute called a preacher fill their heads full of nonsense. See, nothing's changed, has it? Instead of out in the woods with a circle of stones or chairs and doing their pagan rituals, they get together in a beautiful little building. They color it white. And they put a bell on the top as if that somehow sanctifies it. And everybody waltzes in there listening to this prostitute fill their heads and their hearts full of nonsense every Sunday or Saturday. And the world goes on, thinking that they know the truth when they don't know a damn thing about the truth. So, the awakening. Yeah, there is an awakening. I'm going to go through some items that have come across my desk in the last 48 hours. Some astounding things. Not everything is going wrong right now. As Pastor Pete Peters used to say, everything is going wrong just right. Now, there is no doubt that we have a New World Order Jewish Bolshevik communist attempt to bring in their New World Order. In fact, they're well advanced into doing exactly that. But, you know, we were told that's pretty much how this would play out. When the Greek words, a great shaking in the heavens and the earth, were used, those words were talking about upheaval. Not just upheaval in nature, but upheaval in society. In fact, it was the Greek words are very descriptive. The upheaval would be so astounding that it would cause your jaw to drop in awe. You would stand there with your jaw agape. Oh, my God. And tell me that's not what rational people today are thinking. Okay? Sons of God, that's an Aramaic idiomatic expression that has to do with men who portray the attributes of the living God. Okay, sons of Adam, or son of man, which could be interpreted as son of Adam, is often used to describe prophets, etc., and Christ himself said he was a son of Adam. But son of God is an expression of men who exhibit the attributes of the living God. And one of the men I'm going to talk about here in a little bit did just that in a video I watched early this morning. I did not get to finish it because I ran out of time, but I will go back and finish the last 5 to 10 minutes. This was an astounding video on BitChute. Amazing. But anyway, let me finish my material here first. Again, we're in the question and answer mode, so you're automatically muted until such time as you indicate to me, either by pressing on your computer the button that says, or clicking, I should say, the button that says ask question. That will flag me that you want to talk. Or if you're on your phone, you hit *6. Again, that will flag me, and then when I unmute you, we can have our discussion. We want to go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, and have a verse for today. And this is regarding Deuteronomy chapter 8, but Matthew is quoting, but he answered, it is written, man, and again in the Greek language, this is anthropos, okay, men with the glowing face, anthros, pos, as in glowing, like phosphoros, okay, get it? So, man, meaning Adamic man, because we're the only ones that blush, shall not live by bread alone. In other words, not food. It says bread, but they're not talking about bread. They're talking about food. In other words, you're not going to live by material things alone, but by every word that proceeds out of Yahweh Elohim God's mouth. His truth is what we live by. If you don't have his truth, what the hell do you have? Did not Yeshua himself say, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free? What's it set you free from, folks? Huh? Think about it. What do you get set free from? How about ignorance, disease, poison, pollution, poisonous ideologies such as the Jews and their nonsense, their doctrines of devils? What do you go to these churches and hear? Doctrines of devils. You don't hear the gospel. The good news, because the good news was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The house of Israel, that's a biblical expression for the children of Jacob. It didn't say go to the world. I know you're, oh, but Dan, it's in my English Bible. Well, I got news for you. The Bible wasn't written in English. None of the apostles spoke English. Christ himself did not speak English. Okay, what did they talk in? Mostly Aramaic, some Greek. Are you guys versed in that? You know, I tell the story about William and Mary College. It was founded back in the 1600s. That's a long time ago, long before we even became a, quote, country. We were still colonies. William and Mary College, guess what? It was a seminary. Yeah, back when seminaries actually produced something that was worth listening to. And to get into William and Mary College or the seminary, you had to be able to read, write, speak, and debate in ancient Greek. I used to, when I first started studying Hebrew and Greek, because I wanted the truth, I remember thinking to myself, why in the world in the 1600s would you make a bunch of preachers who were predominantly Englishmen, why would you make them study Greek? And then as I got into the studies more, it made more sense, because that's where the truth is. How do you teach a congregation the truth of the writers who wrote all of the manuscripts? Now, and again, listen to what I'm telling you. All of the manuscripts that were extant to be used for the different translations were in Aramaic and Greek. Very, very, very few manuscripts in ancient Hebrew. Very few. And most of them were fragments. They were not even complete manuscripts, only fragments. Let that sink in. Okay? Let that sink in. So why did they force the freshmen at William and Mary College to study Greek but not Hebrew? Because none of the manuscripts were in Hebrew at that time. The Septuagint, which is the oldest Old Testament that we do have manuscripts of, was written in Greek. Now, what's buried deep beneath the Vatican and hidden away from us, that was stolen from the Library of Alexandria? Maybe they do have some of the ancient Hebrew texts, and they were hidden from us. Why? Because the manipulators have been at this game for a very long time. Guess what? Their time's almost over. Their anger is great, because they will be subdued, just as Obadiah and many, many others have told us over the years. They will be destroyed. Okay? Ezekiel chapter 25, Obadiah verse 18, Malachi chapter 4. There's three witnesses for you, for the folks that are doubting Thomases that are out there, okay? And a lot of people say, well, Dad, they just got so much power. They got the media, and they got all the banks. And, who can war against the beast, Dad? Who can war against the beast? Well, how about Yahweh? Is this not his world, his creation? Are not we who walk upon the face of the earth, are we not his creation? You think he just dumped us down here to abandon us completely? I got news for you. No, there is a plan, okay? The Greek word logos, which is translated most of the time in the Bible as the word, that's where people like Jimmy Swagger, this is the word of God, and he's flapping around that corrupted King James Version. This is the word of God. Well, okay, but that same word, logos, which, by the way, is where we get the modern-day word logic, logic. It applies to spoken words, but it also applies to a plan, because the plan requires what? Intelligence. We, unlike the animal kingdom, we have a language. Our brains can form thoughts, and through the science of language, we're able to convey to another person what's in our brain. That's the purpose of language. That's also the reason why it's important to understand language and how it's used, because today language is a weapon being used against you. The manipulation of words, by the way, who is it? Nakash. Nakash. The Hebrew word has that sh at the end because it sounds like a snake. Nakash. Because when their lips are moving, they are manipulating you. Very important to understand how that all works. So again, logic requires intelligence. Intelligence is required to form words and a plan. And so the word, in many cases in Scripture, should have been interpreted as the plan. A lot of people today, especially the Jimmy Swagger types, John Hagees, and the rest of those prostitutes, they'll sit there and tell you that the Bible is the Word. No, the Bible is a Catholic Church creation. I'm sorry if that offends you, but go look it up. I have, so I don't really care if you're offended. the Bible as you have it on your desk or on your shelf. You don't read it anyway, but that book, or those 66 books, were put there by the Catholic Church. They are the ones who, quote, blessed or canonized it. They left out many of the old texts that are considered sacred by many other groups of believers. So, you know, if you want to trust the Catholic Church to give all the important information from antiquities to you today, go ahead. I don't trust them one damn bit. I didn't trust them even as a teenager, long before I learned any of this stuff. The whole premise of the Catholic Church was an anathema to me. The whole idea that you call a guy father, right there in Scripture it says, call man, no man father. And yet the Catholic Church calls priests father. The whole idea that you can't serve Yahweh and be married, what? What the hell are you talking about? And then you find out most of them are pedophiles, and most of the nuns and the priests are getting together in the evenings anyway. That's why they bury the babies down in the basement of the monasteries over in Europe in the old days. The nuns would get pregnant, they'd have the children, and they would murder the children and bury them so people wouldn't find out that they had natural desires. What kind of organization would condone that, okay? Pedophile priests, nuns murdering their children so the word doesn't get out that, you know, they broke their vows, blah, 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 blah. The fact that the Pope and the bishops and all that have all these rich garments on, all this jewelry, live an opulent life. What is Christ like about that? Would somebody like to call in and explain to me how that works? I had a Sicilian friend of mine. He was an American, but his family originally came from Sicily. And he was staunch Catholic. He used to argue with me all the time, trying to tell me why it was important to be Catholic. I said, why? His name was Alfio. I said, Alfio, why is it important to be Catholic? I said, you and I have been sitting here arguing back and forth for about the last 2 hours, and you have come to agree that the Catholic Church is corrupt. I heard it out of your own mouth. They're corrupt. So why would you stay with it? And then he finally, he admitted why. Because it's a tradition within the family. Oh, what did Christ say about following the tradition of the elders? Okay, that's talking about things like the protocols, but it's also talking about the thing called the Talmud and the hanging on of traditions, even though they're wrong. Where do we get a pass from our father because we follow things that are wrong? Where do we get a pass for that? Aren't we supposed to have discernment? Yeah. Better have your discernment now, folks, and you better not be the lukewarm. This is that critical time in history. We're at it. You're at the end of this earth age. You're at it. It's not something to theorize that's going to happen decades or even 100 years. No. You're in a front row seat to watch the end of the age. You're in it. It's game time. Game time. A lot of hideous things going on, but there's also the work of the Father going on. I watched a gentleman on BitChute called Chris Cantu. I don't know if you folks have ever heard of him. I have never heard of him before, but he is currently living outside the country because of the lockdowns. Okay, and these lockdowns have nothing to do with a germ, okay? Nothing. Many years ago, like G. Edward Griffin and James Perloff, the John Birch Society told us that when the Bolsheviks try to take over, they will try to control the media, control the economy, control food, control energy, and limit your ability to travel. We were told that decades ago. You're watching it unfold right now. So anyway, Chris Cantu, who says of himself that he's Cuban, though he is an American, but from Cuba, his family's from Cuba, And he says openly, he goes, I know I have mixed blood in me. He goes, I know I'm predominantly Castellano, which is the white Spanish. I'm primarily Castellano, but you can tell from my looks and my study of my history that I have some either Portuguese or Arab or black. He goes, but I have a high IQ. I also study a lot, and I have my own opinions. He goes, but yes, I am a mixed race. But he went on for almost an hour, and I'm going to tell you something. If he would be a guest on this program, I'm going to invite him on, because virtually everything he said in that almost 40-minute speech, monologue, was exactly what we have been talking about on this program from day one. He talked about the racial issues and how they've got it all upside down. He talked about the fact that you minorities are crazy if you think you can survive without the white man. The Israelites, we built society. We built civilization, as is annotated in the book Human Development by Charles Murray. Or no, Human Accomplishment. I'm sorry, Human Accomplishment by Charles Murray, that goes into the fact that virtually everything of significance ever invented was by Caucasians, the Israelites. He talked about that. He talked about violence that's coming. He's a military guy. He talked about the fact that they keep poking the bear, meaning the conservative white American. He said it's going to turn violent. And he said there will be a pushback coming, and it's probably coming very, very soon. The thing that really struck me was the fact that he said, you know, folks, you need to wake up as to who the real enemy is. It's not blacks and browns and yellows and whites. He goes, the enemy wants us to fight each other. He goes, we need to train our sniper rifles and our rifles on the real enemy, who is the Zionist Talmudic Jew. He said that in his monologue. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. So he identified the enemy, which to me signifies that the scripture that says that those who bless Abraham will be blessed and those who curse Abraham will be cursed. Was he talking about just other whites, or was he talking about non-whites as well? I dare say my studies have always showed me to be the non-whites as well as other whites. And particularly the non-whites, because whites are related to each other. No matter where we live, no matter what language we speak, we're from the same family. So those not of our family, and those like this gentleman who are mixed, they can make a conscious choice on whether they will assist Abraham, meaning us, in this struggle against the beast, or they won't. And I've always felt that when the time came, there will be many of them who will support us. And that's exactly what this young man was talking about. We have an enemy that means to destroy all of mankind, enslave all, and I mean all of mankind. And I swear he is either listening to recordings or listening in live to these broadcasts, because of many of the things he said and the way he said it. And I've been hearing more and more people talk as if they are getting either show notes or pieces, bits and pieces of the discussions we have on this channel, because they're using our exact verbiage when they talk about these issues. In fact, I've noticed a lot of the show hosts and content creators on BitChute and Vimeo and DLive and YouTube, a lot of the content creators are picking up some of our methods of conducting interviews. And a lot of people say, well, what's the big deal about that? Because imitation is a form of flattery, okay? Meaning they believe that you're right, okay? It's not that we need flattery for vanity, but flattery that is showing that they believe what you're doing to be the right way to do it without saying so, okay? Trust me, I've been doing this for almost 21 years. I've never gotten a contact, text, phone call, letter, email, whatever, from somebody saying, hey, Dan, I listened to your program. Thanks. I'll incorporate it. No. That ain't never going to happen. And actually, it's probably good that it doesn't. Okay? But, again, when you start seeing evidence that our terminology, our phraseology, and our contextual points that we make, you start seeing them showing up in all these other channels, it means that the Bible, once again, has been proven true. It says, my word will not go out and then return to me void, meaning without accomplishing anything. My truths will go out like a sword that cuts. Who is afraid of the truth? Who is afraid of the truth? The Jews are. They're the great deceivers. They're the ones who make war by deception. So this is going out, and it's reaching many, many people. And we are having an effect, and hallelujah for that. But anyway, Chris Cantu, and he spells it K-R-I-S, Chris, Cantu, C-A-N-T-U, Cantu, on BitChute. And if you want to listen to an amazing dialogue, or not a dialogue, but a monologue, this guy is nailing it, because like he said, when the rubber meets the road, which is just ahead, when the bear, meaning us, the people that know what's right and wrong, when the bear has been poked sufficiently, it will rise up and it will have claws. He said, the only thing we need to remember is those claws need to be used to strike at the real enemy, who is the Jew. So you got Louis Farrakhan and other black leaders talking about this fact. You've got Chris Cantu talking about this fact. Anybody that has an identity background is talking about this fact. And now even some of these so-called normies in their channels are talking about it, because it is a fact. It's not theory. It's not racism. It's facts. Those are all terms, sophistry, used by the enemy, again, trying to control what? The language. Because they want a different thought formed in your head, so they change the language. A good case in point is two of the most notorious Jews, liars in front of your face every night, is that Birx and Fauci, or Fauci, okay? They are both Zionist toads. And they're filling your head full of nonsense with you by using sophistry. Just like when Birx admitted that, okay, if you die with COVID, we're listing it as dying from. You see, just changing two words, with and from, exchanging them, with and from. Most people don't even think about that. That's why we're in trouble. We've stopped using the brain that our Heavenly Father gave us. And the devil is in the details, folks. She admitted it right there on the camera, but how many people watching that image of the beast picked up on it? And she said it. We're going to list those who die with the virus or the antibodies for the virus as dying from the virus. Man, that's huge. How many people picked up on it? Okay. How many people picked up on the other admissions by the CDC and the World Health Organization where they have literature on their own website saying the masks aren't protecting anybody? It says so right there on their website. How many people picked up on it? None. And yet these same lying pieces of dog meat, Fauci and Birx and the rest of the medical community going along with this nonsense, they're getting in front of that camera and being portrayed to you with the image of the beast as if they're trusted voices telling you, it's bad, it's really bad, oh my God, you need to be masked, you need the vaccine, even though it's not really a vaccine, it's a tracking device, and it will alter your makeup. It's a way for the New World Order, the beast system, to have control of you and to track and trace you no matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter where you go. You will be constantly tracked and traced by your master. That's why my motto has been no testing, no vaccine, no masks, and no consent. I'm not going to do any of it. No mask, no vaccines, no tests, no consent. The test itself has been shown by many prominent people that there is no reason to stick a swab way up into your nasal cavity if they wanted to get a sample. The only reason to do that is they're placing something in there because that far back up your nasal cavity, there is a spot that is a very tiny membrane separating that portion of the nasal cavity from the brain cavity, the blood barrier from the brain. Now, why would they want to place something that close? Well, any of you that have been in natural health like I have, you know that a fast way to get a substance into your body is through a very shallow or thin blood barrier, such as your wrists. Right there on the bottom of your wrist is considered one of the very easy entry points. At the bottom of your feet is another very easy entry point. Below your tongue, they call it sublingual. Below your tongue, another fast, easy approach. That's why you take your homeopathics and you put them under your tongue or rub them on your wrists. Okay? Well, for some reason, they're going up into the nasal cavity, very, very close to the brain, to do whatever it is they're doing, probably to place something there so they can get whatever positives they want. Literally, anybody they target can be tested and called positive, okay? That's just a euphemism because it doesn't mean anything. In other words, if you become a targeted individual, they will tell the public that you were a positive for COVID and therefore danger to society. But really, what are you a danger to? You're a danger to the Jew and his Bolshevik takeover of the world. That's what you're a danger to. You're not a danger to your neighbors. You're not a danger to anybody else. You're a danger to these lying misfits, these Bolshevik Jews, and their attempt to take over this world. But as one commentator said, there's an old adage that says, we are many, they are few. All that has to happen is mankind to what? Awaken, which is what's happening right now. Chris Cantu is just an example. He's only one of many, 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 many thousands that are now standing up and starting to say the truth. There, all the racial tension, all of this nonsense over this virus has Jewish fingerprints all over it. Jewish leadership, Jewish organization, and Jewish funding. Every bit of it. If you take the Jews and their money out of the equation, Black Lives Matter disappears, Antifa disappears, communism disappears, the one world banking system disappears, the corporations disappear, the gigantic insurance scam disappears, most of your taxes disappear, your overreaching government disappears. Do you see that? Your sex trafficking disappears, your pedophilia disappears, your porn industry disappears, your drugs, illicit drugs being pumped into your children disappears, and the medical mafia disappears. All by taking that one group of people and disabling them. Now, how do you disable them? That's up to you. Chris talks about one way. That's a permanent way. But there's a lot of ways. One, you got to understand how they operate. You can't give them your time, your energy, or your money, if at all possible. At some point, the world is going to rise up and militarily going to take them out. That's just a fact. Scripture says it's going to happen. Logic says it has to happen. Rational thinking says it has to happen. Why? Because they are forever revolutionaries. In fact, let me read a quote that I just got. I got a a large document full of good quotes. As soon as I can find it here. This is from a Jew. It's Nahum Goldman. And he says here, I hardly exaggerate. Jewish life consists of two elements, extracting money and protesting. Okay, that's a quote of a Jew. Okay, there's lots of good quotes by other Jews, if you're paying attention. But again, why did Christ say you can't be lukewarm? Because if you're lukewarm, you're not paying attention. Because you're complicit. You're complacent. You have to have skin in the game. You have to be involved. The Jews are notorious for exposing their criminality. They rely on us being lukewarm. And that's exactly why our Messiah said, I will vomit you out of my mouth. You are a disgusting piece of shit to me. That's exactly what that means. I don't even want to... Hey, what did he say? Oh, those of you who come to me going, Lord, Lord, we cast out demons, we did healings, we had prayer service, we gave out food and clothing at the church, we had a food kitchen set up to feed the poor. And he's going to turn around and look at him and go, depart from me. I never knew you, you lukewarm piece of shit. Get the hell away from me. That's exactly what that's saying. How many of these churches and how many of these so-called Christian organizations, they're full of pew setters like that, the fat-ass pew setters. They sit on their asses in the pews thinking that's service to God. Really? How's that working out? As the devil's own children, the Jews, are raping the world, literally and figuratively, raping the world while you're sitting in there singing hymns and clapping each other on the back, having your pork sandwich for lunch, and yet you're not doing a damn thing. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Mr. Goldman also had this to say, and this is a long time ago, but just listen to his words now. The Jews might have had Uganda, Madagascar, and other places for the establishment of a Jewish fatherland. But they wanted absolutely nothing except Palestine. Not because the Dead Sea water, by evaporation, can produce $5 trillion of metalloids and powdered metals. Not because the subsoil of Palestine contains 20 times more petroleum than all the combined reserves of the two Americas, but because Palestine is the crossroads of Europe, Asia, and Africa, because Palestine constitutes the veritable center of world political power, the strategic center for world control. Okay? Nahum Goldman. Kike, telling you, just like Kissinger, the Kike told you what they used terror for. Does anybody actually think it's a coincidence that the absolutely despicable pervert Henry Heinz Kike Bolshevik Communist Jew Kissinger, do you think it's a coincidence in 1991 he made that quote about the fact that they would use terror to get the United States first and then the rest of the world to accept world government? 1991, folks. What happened in 1992? Randy Weaver's family was attacked and murdered by rogue elements of the U.S. government, along with Israelis dressed as U.S. servicemen. Many times these rogue elements that we think are bad state police and bad military guys, they're actually Israelis. Because Israelis gun down innocent people on a daily basis. Just go look what's happening in Palestine. Okay? They do it on a daily basis. And now they're training your police and military over here to think like they do. Okay? You're just a sheep to them. You're just an animal for the slaughter. And now they're trying to get our police and military to think exactly the way they do. So when they go out and gun down Vicky Weaver like Lon Hurucci did, put a bullet in her head while she's holding her baby on the family's front porch, okay, only a Jew could think that that is somehow justifiable. Only a Jew. In fact, the Jews gave Lon Hurucci rewards and financial incentives to assassinate Vicky Weaver. In fact, Vicky's death was not only not held against him, he went on to perform similar duties at Waco. You see how this works? Same actors, same bad actors, same murderers, all being exonerated by who? By the Jew. Because the Jew controls your Department of Defense, your FBI, your CIA, your local law enforcement, and the court systems. That's how come they can get away with this bullshit. You think I'm kidding? I've been studying this for a long time. A very long time. So if you want to challenge me, I'm up for a challenge. I got no problem with that, because if I'm wrong, I'll be the first one to admit that I'm wrong. However, like I said, if you come at me with your emotionalism, or, well, Dan, I just don't like what you're saying. You sound like you're anti-Jewish, Dan. That ain't going to fly. Or Dan, as the county prosecutor back home said to my father, Russ, your son sounds like he's anti-government. Anti-government. What does that even mean, anti-government? No, I'm anti-bad government. I'm not bad. I'm not against government. I'm against bad government. The only government we're supposed to have anyway is Messiah, who is Yahweh in a flesh body. That's our government, okay? Government by men, we need to repent of that and just give up on that whole notion. There is no such thing as righteous government of men. It's not going to happen. They're all corruptible. The Jews know that. That's why they want you to buy into the three branches of government we had here in the United States, because they knew they could corrupt it. Okay, maybe George Washington was in on it, because the people said, we want you to be our monarch, because they knew George Washington himself to be an honorable man. So be the monarch. We're used to that. A beneficial monarchy is actually a very, very good form of government. Beneficial. Please note, I said beneficial monarchy, not a despot or dictator, because that's why Christ is coming back as a beneficial monarch. You don't believe that? Then tear up your Bible. It says so right there. He's not going to share his throne with you or me or anybody else. So we got mayhem going on everywhere. I'm reading a note here, so give me a second, okay? And these Jews have outed themselves of what they're up to. This is a Bolshevik takeover. But Chris Cantu, again, on BitChute, if you get a chance, go check it out. Somebody said, did I put out the link? No, I got it too late to do that. And sometime today, I'll update it on my website on the Daily Mail page. So the other good news was Peggy Hall has had some success. She's the Healthy American. That's her YouTube channel, the Healthy American, Peggy Hall. She and her citizens group out there in Orange County, California, has had a success. They went after the county health commissioner, a female, and that female has resigned from office because of the heat that Peggy and all of her neighbors put on this piece of garbage female health commissioner, because she went along with the fraud of the mask and the sheltering in place and all that. They came to find out, because they did the digging, that the county was getting extra funds from the state and the feds for doing it. Okay, so she went along with the fraud for what? The love of money. Where have I heard that before? Let's see. Wait a minute. I know it's right on the tip of my tongue. I've seen that 100 times. Where the love of money is the root of all evil. I know I've seen that somewhere. Where? Oh, that's right. It's in your Bible. You know that book that's got an inch of dust on it, on your shelf over there, or sitting on your coffee table with an inch of dust on it? Yeah, it's in there. If we only picked it up once in a while and read it, and then, oh my God, here's a novel concept. If we actually believed what it said, oh my God, can you imagine what a change? The love of money is the root of all evil, and who loves money more than any other group of people walking this earth? Let's see, what did Nahum Goldman say? I hardly exaggerate, Jewish life consists of two elements, extracting money and protesting. Wasn't it Rosenberg who said that you will never satisfy us, meaning you Gentiles, meaning non-Jews? You Gentiles will never satisfy us until we have it all. And even then they won't be satisfied because you can't satisfy them. They are, what did Rosenthal say? Oh, the world's revolutionaries. Because out of revolution, the Jews get their power and their ability to rob the people blind. Look what happened in the United States in 1913 with the Federal Reserve, the income tax, and Social Security, all at the same time. Putting the noose around our neck, and our founding fathers are rolling over in their graves. And what happened to our ancestors? What happened to my great-grandfather and my grandfather, his generation? Why the hell did they not protest? They knew about the Jew. I heard them say it many times. They can't be trusted. Or was the Jew hiding in the background like he so often does? Just like Jacob Javits and his little band of other Jews who decimated our immigration policy in 1965. Oh, they put a goyim face in front of you, Ted Kennedy, that piece of shit drunk from Massachusetts. Yeah, they put Ted Kennedy's face up there. If you think Ted Kennedy had anything to do with it, you're crazy. He was a worthless piece of shit. Okay, they had him after he killed Mary Jo Kopechne, and they got him out of jail and got him off the hangman's noose, and they owned him from that point on because he was a drunk and he was a whoremonger. For those folks that think Ted Kennedy was a great guy, I'm sorry, but you're an ass. You don't know anything about Ted Kennedy. He was a frickin' ass. And they owned him. So they said, hey, Ted, we're going to put this bill out there, and we're going to destroy the immigration policy of the white Christian Americans so that we can flood it with fellow Jews and non-whites. And Ted, oh, okay. Yeah, I know I'm a cuck. I know I'm a traitor. I know I'm a piece of shit. But you guys have got me. You got me off from murdering Mary Jo Kopechne. So I guess I'm going to have to go along. Yeah, that's what we have in this cacistocracy. We got perverts, we got cucks, we've got compromised morons, we got incompetency. I mean, if you want to look, do you have to go any further than Maxine Waters, Nancy Pelosi, and AOC? Okay, you put all three of those females together and you don't get one person with an IQ above room temperature. That's with all three of them put together. You still haven't reached room temperature IQ yet. And by the way, that means 75 IQ. Room temperature, get it? 75 degrees, IQ of 75. 75, by the way, is not a good IQ level. It's borderline moron. Let that sink in. Borderline moron. IQ 75, or people sometimes say IQ of room temperature. Morons. That's what you have in government today. Morons. That's why it's called a cacistocracy. Government by the worst of your society. Not the best. The worst. I like what Leonardo da Vinci said. I awoke only to see that the rest of the world is still sleeping. And Lord Acton said this to Mandel Creighton on the 5th of April in 1887, "There is no worse heresy than that the office sanctifies the holder of it." Now, what was Lord Acton saying? He was saying, when you give somebody credibility and you believe them because of the office they hold, such as a Fauci or a Burks, if you give them credibility because of the office rather than the individual, that is a heresy. What's a heresy? Okay? Think about it. Maybe we should look that one up and get the dictionary definition. Heresy. Oops, my fat finger is... Any opinions or doctrines at variance with the official or orthodox position. Two, a belief that rejects the orthodox tenets of a religion. Okay? That's a heresy. So, Lord Acton was trying to tell us exactly what we've done today, because people sit in front of their images of the beast, their flat screens, and because some moron, like a Fauci, which anybody with a brain should have known from the first moment he stepped out there in front of that camera, he was a moron. Because of his office, that's why they're always telling you, when these morons talk to you, do you always notice they want to attach their credentials or their office? Sometimes both. He's a doctor of such and such. He's the director of such, as if that makes a difference. That's what Lord Acton's talking about. And yet the Jew does that constantly. In fact, I've had debates with Jews through my life, and that's one of the things that they love to do. Well, what do you know? I have a PhD. What do you know? Because I graduated from Harvard or Yale. What do you know, Dan? That's why I love that scripture that says, I will use the uneducated or the unlearned to confound the wise. Isn't that beautiful? Think about that scripture. I will use the unlearned, which if you look up the Greek, it's talking about people without credentials. The unlearned, people who got their information from who? Their own self-study and from the Holy Spirit. I will use the unlearned to confound the wise. Now, to cement that idea, I had a discussion with a lady a long time ago. Her name is Gianni. She is Italian, and she's a writer of 16 books, and she's traveled the world speaking and everything else. PhD. In fact, she might have had two or three PhDs. And yet, when I got into a discussion with her about identity, and she started to awaken and was asking me questions about, well, which tribe are the Italians and things like that, at one point, she paid me a very high compliment. She said, almost verbatim, it's amazing what you know because it confounds me. It confuses me. And that verse popped into my head as soon as she said that. So I was humbled because I have a lot of respect for Gianni, very intelligent woman, and I looked at some of her books, very well read, very good writer. And so I took that as a high compliment, but it told me, well, that's not because of me. It's because of what the Father put in place. He said, I will use the unlearned to confound the wise. We got all kinds of people running around with all kinds of degrees and fancy titles and fancy office holders, etc. What does the Bible say about that? Oh, be no respecter of persons or positions. Oh, do you think that's what it's saying? In other words, you judge a man by his fruits. It doesn't make a bit of difference what his age is, what kind of credentials he says he has, what office he's holding. You judge them by their fruits. That's why you men and women out there in uniform, I got a warning for you. We don't respect the uniform if you're not respectable people. And you've had a good showing here lately with the Jews telling you you can do pretty much to us whatever you want. That's going to change here very soon. I've been telling you this for years, because I know some of you are listening. Just because you got a badge, gun, and uniform does not make you right and does not mean we have to listen to you. When you're doing the work of the Antichrist, you're just the same as he is. When you're doing the work of the Bolshevik communists, just because they're paying you, just because they're patting you on the back, don't worry about it. We got the mayor and the governor in our pocket. You'll never be held accountable. Oh, I beg to differ. I beg to differ. The winds of change are blowing. Just as Chris Cantu said, not everybody's sound asleep. Not everybody's put their weapons away, never to use them. There are groups out there who do know what's going on and do know who the troublemakers are. So I would warn those in uniform, and this goes all the way up to the Pentagon, from the local beat policeman up to the Pentagon, just because you got a uniform, just because you've got some title or rank, if you think that's going to make a bit of difference on the day of judgment, you truly are dumber than a box of rocks. Judgment, judgment is based on biblical law. Judgment is based on God's law. It has nothing to do with Talmudic, Bolshevik, Jewish bullshit. You know, the Jews, here's how sophistry works. Many years ago, the Jews got us through the use of media, newsprint, television, movies, to start calling babies fetuses. Now, is there anybody out there that thinks for 1 minute that that was by accident? Or just a, well, let's just start calling them. No, it's to condition you. Because if we say we're going to murder a baby, you might have an emotional response. You might get off your fat ass and do something about the abortion clinics and doctors. You might actually save a few babies' lives. But instead, you were told it's just a bunch of cells, which, by the way, that whole notion comes out of the Talmud, the holy book of these atheistic Bolshevik Jews. It's just a bunch of cells. That's why it's not really a baby. Because in their book, it's a baby once it comes out of the mother's womb. Now, you say, well, Dan, the Jew in New York, Cuomo, that Bolshevik piece of shit, him and other governors like Northam, that other Jewish piece of shit in Virginia, they're saying it's okay to kill children even after they're born. Oh, well, wait a minute. You forgot about something. It's a baby when it comes out of a Jewish woman's womb. It's still an animal when it comes out of a non-Jewish womb. Therefore, to the Jew, it's okay to kill it. Yeah, it's not a fetus any longer. It's not a baby growing in a mother's womb. It's a newborn animal. And since it's just an animal, it's okay to kill it. It's okay to stick it with vaccines that are actually just poisons. It's okay to give it Enfamil and other formula instead of mother's milk because they're just animals. Come on, folks. You're just an animal. You don't see the connection here with the mental process of these Jews and why they're doing what they're doing? Again, they're telling you up front what their motives are and why they're doing what they're doing, but are you paying attention? That's the real question. Are you paying attention as they talk about the destruction of you and your family? And you men and women in uniform are the ones I'm really concerned about because you're going to become targets. I hate to tell you that. I was a military guy. Okay? My heart goes out to honest people that actually think they're trying to do a good thing, but you're being misled. Okay? Your leaders are actually part of this Bolshevik takeover. That's why you're being used as cannon fodder in Afghanistan, and you were used as cannon fodder in the Middle Eastern conflicts. You were used as cannon fodder in Korea and Vietnam. You were used as cannon fodder in World War I and World War II. Just read Smedley Butler, the United States Marine Corps general who wrote the book War is a Racket. It's just a small book. I know you people don't like to read. It's too much work. It's just a tiny book, folks. Tiny book. But it's packed full of wisdom of a United States Marine Corps general who was, at his time of active duty, he was the most decorated military man in our military. So he was not a Johnny-come-lately or a fly-by-night. He knew what the hell he was talking about. War is a racket. Another way of saying, our men and women are being used as cannon fodder for the corporate world, which is exactly what the book The Brothers, John Foster Dulles, and Alan Dulles and Their Secret World War. That's exactly what that author talks about as well. Our military is just an arm of the State Department, who's just an arm of the Zionists in control of things. So your sons and daughters are serving in an organization that's just implementing the corporate policies so that Jews can make more money. What a joke. Bleeding the ground red for these bastard Jews. I'm glad the world's waking up to it. And you men and women in uniform, you better wake up to who the hell you're going to serve. Christ was not kidding when he said, you either with me or against me. Forget what George, the Satanist pedophile Bush, said when he tried to mock Christ. You're either for us or against us. I got news for you, Georgie Bush. Me and my kind have been against you from day one. I find you detestable. You're the only thing you're good for is hanging from a tree at the end of a rope. That's all you're good for, because you are a satanic pedophile piece of shit. Daddy and son are both the same. Fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. So, Georgie, from the grave, if that's where you are, I pray that you are. That's where you should be. Let me tell you, it's Christ who said it. You're either for me or you're against me. There's only two camps in this war. Christ followers and everybody else. That's it. Just like there's only two races that matter. Israelites and non-Israelites. And the Jews don't even count for there because they're aliens. They're not even of mankind. And people say, well, Dan, how could you say such a thing? They got two arms and two legs. And I know a Jew down the street. He seems like a pretty nice fella. Well, then take your Bible and burn it, because Christ himself said they are from their father, the devil, which makes them an alien race. And the Apostle John, in his writings, spoke of the Jews as if they sprang from an alien race. And again, I've got textbooks that I'm quoting from. So if you want to challenge me, then you challenge the writers of the textbooks that I'm quoting from. Okay? It's as simple as that. And as Chris Cantu said in there, we need to be looking at the root of this tree of evil instead of whacking at the branches, which is all of the nefarious things going on in the world. It all has the same root. Henry David Thoreau said, you got to be chopping at the root if you want to fix the problem, folks. And how many times have we said that on this program? You got all these organizations that want to fix all these different things, but nobody's talking about the 800-pound gorilla in the middle of the room, which is the Jew, because he's behind it all. Every single bit of it. And if you don't wake up to that, folks, you're, as they used to say back on the farm, you're shit out of luck. Okay? Sorry to use the vernacular of the farm, but that's where I grew up. And I'm personally tired of this whole idea that, well, Dan, you can't teach Bible stuff if you're not going to speak with that perfectly safe language. You know, you can't say things like shit or damn or hell or those faggots. You can't talk like that, Dan. Well, I got news for you. I do talk like that, and I'm going to continue to talk like that because it's the truth. If you can't handle the language, then you can tune into John Hagee or the Jew Osteen or the ass kisser, Swaggart, or any of the other ass kissers. They will be more than happy to put on the show that they're such pious people, even though they're millionaires, they're pedophiles, they're perverts, they're liars, and they're deceivers. That shouldn't matter because they look good. They got fancy clothes on. They're pumping your head full of bullshit. And they're real careful not to say a word that might offend you. Okay, if that's what you want, tune in to them. Millions of people do. Millions of people. What's scripture say about that? Oh, the road to hell is wide and many travel thereon. The road to destruction is wide. You sort of get this picture of all those churchgoers sitting on that road and marching down that road to their destruction, don't you? Like lemmings going right over the cliff. Another activist out there is Dr. Popper up in Ohio. She's got her action committee going on, and she started a new normal, Citizens in Control. I love that. Citizens in control. We the people. We the people. And remember, the Second Amendment was not put in there by accident, folks. You can't listen to the news media. You can't listen to these prostitute whores in government. You got to think for yourself. The Second Amendment was put in there because we the people need to have our liberty teeth to defend ourselves. The whole purpose of the Second Amendment was written for today. When the government becomes your enemy, when the government in the form of police officers or sheriffs or National Guardsmen, when they come in to confiscate your weapons, they are the enemy. When they come in to enforce contact tracing, they are the enemy. When they come in to shut down a business as, quote, non-essential, they are the enemy. Make no mistake about it. And if it's a relative of yours or a neighbor, I'm sorry, but they have identified themselves as the enemy. And here's something else to consider, folks. When all is said and done, when the Jew takes over, what's going to happen to you and your family is much worse than if you resist these people today, because today you have a fighting chance. Once they're in control, they will destroy, murder, rape, and torture because they love it. They get a sexual fulfillment from it. And if you don't think I know what I'm talking about, go read Alexander Solzhenitsyn's books, Gulag Archipelago and 200 Years Together, The History of Jews in Russia. Okay? If you want to know what they're up to, just check them out. I apologize. I've been not looking at the queue, and we've got a couple callers, so hold on. Okay, Gary, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How are you today, Pastor?
As well as can be expected, I suppose.
Well, I've noticed you're in your form, so that's good. When you go back into the conversation a little bit here, and you were talking about the people in government that get away with murder. Even goes further than that. It brought up in my mind the name Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton, and then it goes down to Comey. It just keeps going. These are people. When we had this guy running for president, he was talking all about how he's going to put him in jail. Well, a lot of people would like to have the kind of jail those guys got going on. Why are they still running around?
Because you don't have an advocate in Washington.
Well, what it shows me, I believe that he was and he really meant it. But once he got into office, he found out that he's not in control.
Well, you know, whether he did or not, yeah, whether he did or not, the office of the president's not getting it done, is it?
No, it's not.
All right, so where does that leave?
Well, that leaves me in a bad position because, you know, if first when he ran, I imagine you also, we all believed him. He's a good salesman.
He's a good salesman, all right. Yeah, he brags about the fact that he's a billionaire and he knows the art of the deal. Okay, that means he can put on a false face. And who are the masters of putting on a false face?
Jews.
If it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was thinking of when you talk about ducks up here, here. They're called lakes. Where you're at, they're called ponds. But we got a couple lakes up here, they had ducks and geese all around them. Then they opened up some apartments over there to Section 8 type people. And so they had lots of Mexicans move in there. Now you see Mexicans over there fishing, and there's no ducks. And I told my wife, I said, they ate the ducks and the goose. They ate them.
Oh, yeah. Well, why do you think there's no cats and dogs in neighborhoods where the Chinese live?
They probably eat them.
There's no probably about it. There's no probably about it. They do. Go look at the markets in China. What do they got hanging up? Cats, dogs, frogs, snakes, lizards, toads. They eat it all.
This is where...
Just look at the video. It's all over YouTube. The videos where people go to the Chinese open markets over there, to them, that's just food. That's why when you go to the Chinese restaurant, you may or you may not be eating chicken.
Yeah. This is... You know, I never thought about it, you know, until I see over there for years, ducks and geese, they're always there. You sit down and they're all around, you know, how they do quack, 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 or eek, eek, with their noises. And the geese, of course, would pinch you. You know, feed me, you know, because they like it when you toss them bread. All of a sudden, right. You bring your bread over, you're going to feed them, they're not there anywhere. If somebody said, well, they all flew away. Those big fat geese didn't fly away. They flew into somebody's pot, called a Mexican.
Yeah.
You know, and this is sad because, you know, now they're letting more Mexicans in. You see, what happened when we first came into this land, we fought the Indians who were brown. Same people as the Mexicans, okay? And we put them on reservations. So that we'd be separate from them. So now we've allowed them to not only control their reservations, but they also get to come into our stores and whatever we have. And then we have now, just because they're from another country, they call them Mexicans instead of their tribal names. They let them all come in here. And then we give them welfare. We give them housing. We give them free medical care. You name it, we give it to them. They have sat down a couple of years ago and they documented or charted all this stuff, and it come up to each Mexican family was making $70,000 a year. How can that be? She's on welfare. You find out that she's on welfare making all this stuff, and he's out there working. And then they might give him a little bit on the side because he doesn't have any money, and poor daddy needs to feed his children. You know, in other words, raise more of these things. It's like raising snakes. You know, they bite you. Well, that's okay.
Well,
let's raise more.
They just gave half of Oklahoma to the Indians.
They sure did. You know, who the hell gave them more authority to do something like that? The Supreme Court.
You know? Well, no. Who gave him authority is all the people sitting their fat asses in the pews and not taking back control of their government officials.
You know what's amazing to me? You go to these so-called Christians, and they call themselves Judeo-Christians. You know, and I tell them, I say, first of all, I'm not a Jew. I'm a Christian. Oh, yeah, but they're God's chosen people. I says, read First John. He doesn't say anything about them being Christians, but he does call them some names. They're called the Antichrist. If you guys want to worship the Antichrist, you get away from me. I don't need you because you can't. They don't know the scriptures. First John, where's that at?
They don't read it. Yeah. Hey, we got another caller. Let me bring this other caller in here.
Okay.
I think this might be Curtis. Curtis, is that you? Hello? Midland, Texas, 432. Hello? You might be muted at your end because you're not muted at mine. Midland, Texas. Hello. Okay. I'll leave it unmuted in case they decide to talk.
Yes.
Go ahead, Gary. What were you saying?
Well, you go to talk to these people, and they, of course, like they say the same things that you said. They have dust on their Bible. They don't have dust on their Bibles. I take that back. Because they take it to church with them every Sunday, hold it on side of them, you know, and they're very holy because they're carrying this around. You know, you're supposed to be carrying it around in your head, not on your side. The only reason I would carry it on my side is to prove what's in my head is correct according to the scriptures. Now, if they're going to go by the scriptures, then they should read it. I've always said that. Read it. What does this, for instance, we were just talking about the Jews. Well, I'll tell you what, in 1 John, Christ calls them the Antichrist. So why would you want to worship the Antichrist?
We should be armed with knowledge from many different sources, not just these books that the Catholic Church gave us. And the other thing is we waste way too much time trying to memorize scripture. Stop doing that. That's a waste of time. What you should be remembering are the principles taught in the scripture because of exactly what Gary's saying. You're not always going to have the book with you, but you can carry the knowledge of what's in the book. And the only way to carry that knowledge is to remember the principles that's taught in Scripture, verse, and book.
I've always heard, even when I went to school and first grade on up, the only way you're going to be able to tell me about that at all is you got to read it. And I've heard you say that over and over. Read it. Don't let it sit there and collect dust on your table. And that's, you know, of course, the only book a lot of people are knowledgeable of. But if you're like me and yourself, you might start out reading it, but then you find out that there's the Apocrypha, and then all of a sudden you find out there's other books, and you start searching for those other books. You know, I got a whole bunch of them. As a matter of fact, I think I bought some from you a long time ago when you were on another station. You know, a lot of people don't know this, but because of Pastor Dan, that, you know, Eli, you gave him his first chance on your radio station. And not everybody might agree with him, but he does sell a lot of good stuff. And he also sells books. So all this stuff is happening. There's a lot that happens because of Pastor Dan. They don't know that. A lot of books are bought. And you mentioned you learned a lot of stuff from Pastor Peters. Pastor Peters, we bought some books from him. So I have a whole bunch of books, you know, that used to belong in the Bible. I mean, if you take the books that belong in the Bible, man, you've got a stack about 3 feet high at the yard. And a lot of people don't know that. And when you mention it, they say, oh, well, that's another book. Of course it is. Well, it's not in the Bible. Where did the Bible come from? It was canonized, and all them books were thrown out by who? the Holy Catholic Church. Holy meaning separate. They are separate, separate from Christ in many ways. So I don't know what to say other than that read. People are going to have to read. You know, I learned all this type of stuff. I belong to another organization, and you're familiar with it. And I learned how life set me down, and I took an inventory of myself. Then I found out that I had a lot of defects of character. And then I started taking inventories of other things. Found out they had lots of defects of characters, like the Holy Catholic Church. I was raised a Catholic, so I know somewhat what they do. And they were the ones that basically chased me away from any thought of Christ at all, because look at these clowns. They do this and they do that, and they go to church on Sundays, and they go to see the priest who's probably doing the same thing, and, you know, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. You know, it's been so long, the confession, and then all of a sudden you walk out of there, you got to say five rosaries, and you're set. You know, I started to think there's something wrong with that picture. And then I stopped going. Then I was reintroduced to Christ, okay, Yeshua.
Hmm. Right.
You know, and as you keep going along, you keep growing. It's like now I call him Yeshua because... Why? Because I learned through all these other books that's his name. And that's the only one that I know. I mean, you might pronounce it different. There might be a lot of other things. But I ask him to please show me the way. Because he's the only one that can. And he knows your heart. He says that. He knows your heart. So he, mm-hmm. So he knows Pastor Dan's heart. And I listen, of course, a lot of times to Pastor Dan, and learned a lot of stuff. I'm learning a lot of stuff that's going on in this country. I want to find out something that's behind the scenes there. I listen to Pastor Dan, and I get them. You have to know what's going on. I mean, this stuff with these idiots running around burning down buildings, and then the mayor sitting there saying, holding back the police, we should go hang that son of a gun. That mayor is not helping out his people or the people that put him in office at all. Neither is that governor. Here in California, we got Newsom. What a joke. This guy needs...
Yeah, let's talk about that for a minute, what's going on, because everybody's in the doldrums over the stuff that's going on. But let's stop and think about this for a minute, because remember, the Antichrist can be used of Yahweh to accomplish his goals, just like he used Nebuchadnezzar and other pagans and stuff in the day. Think about what's happening, Gary, and the audience. Listen, think about this for a minute. One, we've talked about the fact the public school system is atrocious. Guess what? The children are not in the public school system, so parents actually have a chance to talk to their children and see what they're being told. They're finding out they're being fed lies and perversions. 40% of the parents, so that's about the white population, almost, 40% of the parents have said they're not going to send their children back to the public school system. So, hallelujah. What else is happening? The cities that are being rioted upon and burned are the democratically controlled ones. And what are the democratically controlled cities? Hotbeds of Bolshevism. Well, they can burn them to the ground. I don't care. I wouldn't put a bucket of water on one fire. They can go in there and they can burn and loot and riot and hurt people, because guess what? The prophets have been telling his people to get out of the cities for decades. So if you're still in the city, you're like the people that stayed in Jerusalem when Titus showed up and sacked it in 70 AD. The Roman general Titus came and he put the whole city to the fire and sword. Okay? Were the believers in the city? No, because the believers had already left Jerusalem. Okay? So who's getting mugged and raped and robbed and murdered in the cities and burnt, their businesses burnt and ruined? The people who didn't listen to the warning. Same thing with health. Who's in the hospitals right now dying alone with no family around them, probably getting a ventilator stuck in them, which is a death sentence? Who's in there? unbelievers. Believers wouldn't be caught dead in a hospital today. Okay?
You know what's
the only
amazing?
Reason you'd go to the hospital is because it's the only thing left to you. Nobody should be in there, and nobody should be allowed to keep your family from coming in to take care of you and to make sure that bad things aren't being done. I just got a note from one of our listeners in Mississippi. He just lost his mother in a medical detention center. He calls it a detention center. A medical center where she has gone for the last 9 months without seeing anybody in the family. And she went in there, she was recovering, and the next thing he knows, he's told she passed away. Again, no family present, nobody to monitor what's going on, nobody to make sure the right drugs are there or the right doses, nobody to make sure a procedure is not done that's not necessary, and the next thing you know, a family member is gone. What I'm trying to say is, who is getting hurt the worst with all this shit that's going on right now? Unbelievers.
Pastor Fossey is getting
risks. Who's wearing masks? Unbelievers. Are they going to get sick? Absolutely. They're going to get terribly sick when they finally take those damn things off. Okay? All kinds of doctors have talked about that. Those masks are not helping anybody. They're actually hurting you. Who's going to take the vaccine when they offer it? Unbelievers. Who's going to allow them to come into their home and steal their children? Unbelievers. Think about it for just a minute. Everything that's negative, everything the New World Order wants to do, they can only accomplish it if you're an unbeliever. Believers will never allow that to happen.
You know, the sad commentary, Pastor, is a lot of these people think they're believers and they're going to these Judeo-Christian churches, and I'm a Christian, why are you doing this to me? You know, things of that nature. You didn't do what the Scriptures King said. Study and find yourself. So they don't go past, they don't even study that they have, and they don't. So if they did, then they'd find out they're going to find out more information, because the minute Christ sees you studying that, he knows you're trying to search. So he will automatically lead you to the proper information, just like he did Pastor Dan. You know, when you first started studying that, he saw you were serious, so he led you to other things. If you're just going to be a joke, well, it'll lead you nowhere. But you'll find out that those that know some of this stuff, he found out they were serious, and he led them. He'll lead you to these things, and you'll know. Now, I'm very fortunate that I'm old now, you know, and all my children are grown, and they're on their own, because right now, I think I've read it in the Scriptures, where during those times, you know, when you got to run to the hills, run here, don't stop, don't go back in and pick up anything. It says that, you know, and women with suck, you know, meaning their babies, they're in trouble. Having children is not a good thing, because you're going to see them suffer. And how many children, Pastor, I don't know if you've ever talked, you've talked about it, but I missed it, that have been captured by these clowns like Hillary Clinton and her kind, and taken to these places where that guy that was killed with the something Steen, and they were used for pleasures of wicked men and wicked women. I mean, it's and then they kill and they do all kinds of things with these children, and they're just abused by the pedophiles. You know, if you had a child, and if you don't keep your eye on your child, or almost keep a chain on them, somebody else will have them. They'll steal them.
Absolutely.
Especially if you got a little 12-year-old daughter, she's liable to be out of here, because that's the kind they like. Especially if they're little blue-eyed blondes, they'll take them in a flash. You know, and that doesn't mean that you shouldn't have blue-eyed blonde children. That's what you should go after, because that's what Christ was. So that shows you that shows you what the people were that were Israelites. Yes, some are not that anymore because of the parents, you know, and you can't stand responsible for what the parents do, but it does leave you with some bad genes and what have
you.
So
the sins of the father are visited upon the children or the descendants, so that's true. In fact, Chris Cantu, in his BitChute monologue, talked about the fact that it is masculine men that they're going to go after. So he's trying to wake up men with testosterone still in their bodies, that you're going to be a target very, very soon. The very first guys on the list, though, are the white men with testosterone. They'll be the number one targets. But he said eventually it'll be all of us men of whatever color. If you've got testosterone and you actually act like a man, you're going to be a target. So that was really good of Chris Cantu to say that. Also, Judeo-Christian Angel sent this in. Judeo-Christian is an oxymoron. There is no such thing as any part of Judaism in true faith in Christ. They're complete opposites. And for the folks that don't know what an oxymoron is, it's the conjoining contradictory terms, such as deafening silence. Okay, how can you have deafening silence? Okay, military intelligence, that's another funny one. Military intelligence is an oxymoron. They're contradictory terms. So just poking fun. Only because the guys in military intelligence, sorry guys, but you're working for the Jew. Okay, if you haven't figured it out yet, maybe you are moronic. Maybe you are low IQ. If you haven't figured it out, you're working for the devil. All you people with FBI, CIA, everybody says, well, they're just good people trapped in a bad system. Really? Really? How good are you? And how smart are you? If you're working day to day with these people, I saw what the Jews were doing to the industry I was in. I couldn't do much to change it. I tried. I combated it with truth and logic and rational thinking. But you know what? The corporate world doesn't give a damn about that. The corporate world only
Israel.
Wants to do what the Jew wants them to do.
What's that? Or Pastor Dan, what they do with it is they take the knowledge that they have here in the system, in the factory, and it goes right over to Israel. And it's really not Israel, because Israel is a people. You know, and you go back in the scriptures and you're going to find out Israel was over here, Israel was over there, Israel was here, so it moved around. Is, you know, and a piece of land is not going to move around. Obviously, that is not Israel. Israel has moved out. They were kicked out. And when a person comes up to me with this Judeo-Christian thing, you know, I ask them the one question that's in the scriptures, and I say, "Who killed the Christ?"
Right.
And they say, "Well, Jews." Well, and that's who you want to worship? Is those
right.
guys? I says, you want to worship the people that killed our Savior? I says, there's something wrong with that picture. Because I don't
look
worship.
At the trouble. Look at the
Go
trouble
ahead.
Mel Gibson got when he produced that movie Passion of Christ by the Jews, because he portrayed them as what they are, Christ torturers and Christ killers.
And you don't hear about them anymore.
Well, yeah, they pretty much shut him down, other than the fact that he's wealthy enough to produce his own stuff. But here again, Mel Gibson didn't do it quite right, because he portrayed the disciples as if they were kikes. If you look at the mug shots or the faces of the actors that were portraying the disciples, they didn't look like Benjaminites. They didn't have blonde hair and blue eyes. They looked like kikes. So Mel, again, they let him produce the movie because, okay, he showed that Christ was killed by the Jews. They didn't like that. But on the other hand, he's promoting the idea that the disciples and Christ were part of the Jewish community. What?
Well, the sad commentary on that, Pastor, is, you know, as I watch these movies, they make these apostles look like a bunch of Arabs, you know, and
it's the same thing.
And
same
they
thing.
And well, Arabs are the guys that are over there in the Middle East. They didn't look anything like that. They looked more like you and me. not like those ragheads running around over there. These guys barely knew how to ride a camel, let alone look like that. It's really sad. I mean, they
What's sad is people don't care about the truth, okay? Why did he say, I'm sending them a strong delusion? And tell me what we're witnessing today isn't a goddamn strong delusion. It's huge. Why did he say, I'm going to send them a strong delusion? Because they no longer love the truth.
Amen. You know, Pastor, if you've ever seen all these ragheads coming over here now, those are the sons of Ishmael. And what did Jesus do with Ishmael? Out the door. You've got to go. There's going to be 12 tribes of you, but you're going to live over there separate from my people. But seeing how most of these out here today don't know who my people are, they allow anything to take place. They even allow their daughters to marry some black thing running around out there in the streets just because he can talk. But you better look at him closely. He does not look like us at all. You know, next thing you know, she's having these little black babies, and that's going into our society. You know, I have people saying, well, Gary, what are you worried about? It's nothing to do with you. I says, yes, it is. You see that crap coming out of her rear end? That's in our society. And my little daughter's got to go to school with that crap if I send her to a public school. And even if I send her to private schools, they bring that crap in and say it's okay. You know, I was going to a church with a group that's hard to find that believes like we do. And, of course, the pastor was a retired Navy chaplain. And then this girl came in. She was new to our group, and she became a believer. And the reason she came in was she was a Seventh-day Adventist, so she came in because we worshipped on Saturdays. And then when she was going along, I said, well, why did you leave your church? She says, because there was a black young man, they're not men, by the way, because men, you look it up in the Strong's, you have to blush in the face. Blacks don't blush in the face. He's a young male, okay? And that's what I told her that, too. So, and he was looking for a white wife, and he found one. And the parishioners tried to tell, you know, mother, you're not supposed to do that. It's not right. It's not this. But they didn't know the truth. Okay, to say what this thing was.
Because the preachers are liars, okay? They're going to those whitewashed sepulchers, which are dens of thieves and prostitutes, called churches today, and are told bullshit stories. But that's what the people want to hear, Gary. They don't care about the truth. If you walked up to the doors of that church on any given Sabbath, and you walked in and said, hey, you're being lied to. I've got truth. Would you like me to tell you? How many churches would invite you in to speak? None.
Well, Pastor, I hate to say this, but I did that one day when he was giving a sermon, this preacher. And I stood up and I said, that's not correct. That's not what the Bible says. The next thing you know, I'm being escorted out of the church. So you're
Gary,
correct.
I don't care. It's a show, okay? And that's another good point about what's happening today. What did they close down? What did the Antichrist Jews close down? The mainstream whitewashed sepulchers called churches. And he even told them, you can't even sing. That's one of the few things they have in there that might even be partially right, is singing hymns and psalms of praise to the Father. That's about the only thing they do that is even remotely of the Yahshua. Okay, so they can't even sing now. So what did they do? Did they do us a favor? Absolutely. The folks in Identity and the folks in the militia could never have done it. But the Antichrist Jew got it done. He shut the liars down. He showed them the lying pieces of shit that they are. The pastors, where are the pastors? Where are the pastors standing out there going, well, you don't have a right to shut us down? Very, 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 very few. So,
well,
they're being identified for what they are. They're being identified for what they are.
There was this one here in Chula Vista that got a bunch of them together, and they got a case together and took it to the Supreme Court. Of course, the Supreme Court ruled against them, but that's not strange. You got a bunch of antichrists sitting in the Supreme Court. As a matter of fact, Trump is upset because the two that he put in vote against him. I want the two issues. So this is what's going on, but they're saying, we don't care. We know what Christ wants. Jesus, these are ones that are strong preachers. And if you're a strong preacher, you're going to jail. If your preacher is not being rubbed real hard by the government, he's not a preacher. He's a government worshiper. Because if you're preaching the truth, you're telling your congregation, we're open this Sunday. You come on in and worship Jesus. And you give sermons on fear. You see, they got everybody running around in fear. Wait a minute, I'm a Christian. Christ told me not to fear. You know, and
what,
every,
is, what is fear?
Fear
is false evidence appearing real.
Yeah.
That's what fear is. False evidence appearing real. It's a lie. Now, by the way, real quick, a prayer request out there for one of our brothers out there in Texas, Curtis. Has got some issues going on, heavy-duty financial issues, putting a strain on the family. And so lift him up in prayer, all you prayer warriors. And by the way, folks, you better get study. Turn that I'll have to say it again, that goddamn television off, all right? Would you please shut that piece of shit off and pick up a book, pick up your Bible, pick up a periodical, watch a video, whatever. Truth Vids. VIDS, Truth Vids is putting out excellent identity videos. Excellent videos. So you can learn that way. If you don't want to read, if you don't want to struggle with actually having to pronounce words and looking up words in a dictionary, which most people are too damn lazy to do that anymore, well, then watch the videos. But for God's sake, shut that goddamn television off. You invited the beast into your home. If that thing is on, you have invited the beast right into your house.
Yeah, but Pastor,
make no mistake about it. And hold on a minute, Gary. One other book that you need to put on your shelf, and you need to read it. Again, a small book, jam-packed full of facts, Anthology of Racial Issues by Charles Weissman, copyright 1997. I read this book back in the late 80s, early 90s. This book is full of scientific studies proving all of the racial things we're talking about, including people of mixed race, not only have many mental problems, they are prone to violence. And I'm going to tell you, James David Manning is a PhD preacher out of Harlem, New York. He's a black guy. In his sermons, he even talks about the fact that most blacks in America today are bastards. They are mixed breed. Very, very few actual 100% pure black in America today. Almost none. And I got this also from my brothers and sisters in South Africa who had many discussions with the blacks over there, because the blacks over in Africa do not want the blacks from America to come there. And I asked, why? He said, because what they said to me was, they're nothing but trouble. Why? Because they're mixed breed. The blacks in South Africa that were on the plantations and in the towns next to the plantations owned by the people I knew, the large farms, I won't call them plantations, the large farms, the businesses, most of the blacks there were very easy to get along with. Again, if you follow God's prescription for how we're supposed to live, guess what? There is no trouble. Who caused the trouble? Just as Chris Cantu pointed out in his BitChute monologue, he said 78% of the ships that carried blacks to North America as slaves were owned by Jews. So once again, the love of money, which is the Jew, is the root of all evil. Why are the blacks here? Because the Jews made money on human misery, just like they're all part of prostitution, pornography, the sex slave trade. They're all in that. Why? They love making money on human misery. And why are they all mixed bred? They brought them over here instead of keeping them in their own geographical location and their own tribes, because the Jew wanted to make money. You got them over here, and what happens when you allow a alien race amongst your own people? The Bible says exactly what happens. It's called miscegenation. You start getting race mixing. It goes back to biblical times, folks. Why do you think the Israelites were told over and over again by the prophets, keep your asses separate. Keep yourself away from those, quote, adoring women. And these were women who looked like us. These were Adamic, maybe Ishmaelite women or whatever. So they weren't even Africans. They were women that looked pretty close to what we were. And they said, keep them away from your sons and daughters. What do you think the word holy means, folks? Oh, I know. You've got this. That's right. Holy means sanctified. Holy means separate. Holy means you belong to the Father and nobody else. You don't. The whole concept of diversity is a communist concept. Where in history, folks, think about this. Where has diversity ever worked? Why the hell did we buy this shit? As soon as the Jew starts mouthing this bullshit, we should have people stand up and go, you're a freaking liar. Nowhere in history has diversity worked. Nowhere in history has multiculturalism ever worked.
Did you say?
Huh? What?
Did you have something, Gary?
Well, I was just talking to my wife. I was saying, you're saying a lot of things that she tells me. You know, she's pretty smart. She's a typical German, reads all the time, pretty sharp.
And we should all be getting sharp, because we're being lied to at an unprecedented rate. Virtually everything, you know, Pat Shannon wrote a good book. Pat Shannon, who I happen to be somewhat friends with, Pat Shannon wrote a book called Everything They Ever Told Me Was a Lie.
Yeah.
Okay, I just finished the book. He wrote it, I think, in 2010. But, folks, you need to read it. Everything They Ever Told Me Was a Lie, Pat Shannon, yeah, it was in 2010. Okay, so it's a few years old, but it's very apropos, it's very timely, and Pat Shannon is one of the best authors out there as far as pick up his book and you almost can't put it down. He's that good of a writer. Everything They Ever Told Me Was a Lie. Perfect book to open up your eyes to how they deceive us. And I'm going to give you one more book, okay, for anybody that cares. I know most people don't give a shit. That's all right. I'm going to tell you anyway, because everybody's too damn busy. Oh, I don't have time to read a book, Dan. Yeah, I know. And that's why we're in this mess, because you want somebody, you want to go on and flip on and on button to a thing called a damn television and think you're being trained, you're being told the truth. Because we're too effing lazy. That's really what the root of it is. We're too freaking lazy. Well, Dan, I work hard all day. I just want to sit in my chair and drink my beer. And I'm going to turn on the image of the beast. The image of the beast wouldn't lie to me, would it, Dan? No, yeah, you're right. Anyway, here's the book. Don't Believe It, How Lies Become News by Alexandra Kitty. Copyright 2005. Another good book. Don't Believe It, How Lies Become News. Folks, how many times do you have to be told to shut that piece of crap off? You know, fear.
Pastor, you
fear. False evidence appearing real. What makes false evidence appear as real? It's called the media. That's the whole job of the media. 21 years we've been on here telling you that. The whole job of the media is to propagandize you, to get you to believe false evidence is real. Fear. Because people who are afraid are easily manipulated. Take a look all around you today, folks. The world is full of people afraid of their own shadows because they watch television. They watch the image controlled by the beast.
Pastor, you used to call it the electric toilet.
Electronic toilet, yes.
And that's absolutely true. You can probably about 1/8 of the stuff is true. You know, I watch Fox. My wife tells me that's all garbage, and you got to be able to discern what's going on. You know, and then sometimes you can learn it, but if you don't know the truth, that thing will take you down to the. It'll be flushed. You'll go down. So you're right. Most of the, I would say, knowledge that needs to be learned by the people either come from the internet, and you have to know where to go on that, or reading. You know, what's wrong with reading some of the material you talk about? That's good stuff. Now, I know some of it's...
Go ahead.
Some of it's tough to read. I know that. You have to know a little bit about history. You have to know a little bit about this and that. Now, I'm very fortunate. At my age here, when I went to elementary school and through junior high school anyway, they taught almost the truth. We knew who the presidents were. We knew all the things that you're supposed to. We read books on all that stuff. They had that, you know, separate books on each incident. They don't have that anymore. Now they read things like how to put a rubber on a cucumber. You know, what's so good about that?
Well, again, our children are not in the public school system, so is that not a good thing? We got 40% of parents saying they're not going to put their children back in public schools. Hallelujah. My own son has told me my grandchildren will not go to the public school system any longer. Do you know how long I prayed for that? Do you know how long I prayed for my family to take my grandchildren out of this goddamn public school system that's a piece of shit?
Ever since I've heard you on the radio, you've been doing
exactly.
That.
And guess what it took? It took the work of the Antichrist to get it to happen. Now,
well, see,
you can
that,
say
that
it's
amazing?
All the Antichrist, or is it Yahweh using the Antichrist?
Now, my wife said exactly what you're saying. She said, you know, she went down, she says, they can't go to school. We've been shut out from work, yet the government's supposedly going to pay us for it. So we get to sit at home, and then we start reading. Okay, there's things that start happening. There is no work. There's nothing going on. You're kept out of those churches, those dens of iniquity. You know, we can't go there anymore. So you have to gather. And a lot of good stuff is coming out of this. And I think the enemy is finding that out. That's why he's sort of opening it up again, because it's hurting him. Because what happens when he does this, you know, it appears like he's catching on that the Savior is allowing this, you know, to take place. The Savior is the one that's making the directions. And the enemy, of course, gets really upset when he finds out he's been used. He's been used like a drum. Wow. It's like they always does. You know, the Savior's got more power than people think. You know, they think, oh, the devil's the man. He's got power.
Well, what does it say in, I believe it's in Thessalonians. Maybe Angel could look it up for me real quick. But in Thessalonians, doesn't it say, all things work to the good for those who love the Father?
That's what it says.
And are called according to what? His purpose.
That's what
okay?
it says.
All things. It doesn't say some things. It says all things work to the good for those who love the Father and are called according to His purpose.
Well, you know what, Pastor?
Okay, there's a lot of people recognize the Father. Even Satan's kids recognize the Father. They study the Scriptures, not to follow it, to see where they can trip us up on it. Okay? Who do you think came up with this Romans 13 nonsense that we're supposed to obey government authorities? Well, that was the Jews.
One piece of
sophistry,
scripture.
Hold on a minute. Sophistry is how they work, okay? They give you bits and pieces and put it together, and because people are too goddamn lazy to pick up the book and actually read it, because if you actually read Romans 13, it says quite clearly, the only government that I'm supposed to give any kind of credence to is a godly government. And I want to know, who out there is going to call me and tell me that the government we have today is a godly government? Who's going to dare call me and tell me that?
Well, the only
you
thing
got
I can
just
say...
Just the opposite. We are not supposed to give our allegiance, obedience, work, and money to an ungodly government.
Amen. That's a mouthful. You just said a whole mouthful. Even on Romans 13, is it godly? No. Why am I giving it any allegiance whatsoever? Isn't this the government, Pastor, that murders little babies? Isn't this the government?
That's my point.
Okay, now that they're going to go into Romans chapter 13, let's start out with Romans 1, where it talks about homosexuality. Are we allowing homosexuality to take place in this government? Yes, we are. We've got a lot of elected officials in there that are queers. I don't call them homosexual. They say, oh, you got to call them gay. Gay is a good word. You destroyed it with this. I'll tell you what they are. Queers, fags. That's what you call them. They're strange.
Well, exactly. By the way, that was Romans chapter 8, verse 28, where all things work to the good for those that love the Father and are called according to his purpose. Okay, now here, this isn't a preacher talking to you. This is Thomas Jefferson, probably one of the smartest men ever to walk the North American continent. Thomas Jefferson said, to compel a man to subsidize with his taxes the propagation of ideas which he disbelieves and abhors is sinful and tyrannical. Okay? We don't even listen to our founding fathers. People say, well, Dan, those prophets and all, they lived a long time ago. That's all Old Testament stuff, Dan. Well, Thomas Jefferson isn't thousands of years ago. Thomas Jefferson's relatively recent history, and he's telling you, one of the smartest men to ever walk the earth, and you're not even listening to him because you're too goddamn lazy and you're too stuck on yourself. You're too frickin' narcissistic. You forgot about our race. You forgot about our heritage. You forgot about our founding fathers. You don't even give a goddamn about your own family today.
Well, you know, Pastor, this man was also able to speak multiple languages. So if you wanted to say, oh, well, that's what it said in Hebrew, he could speak that. That's what it said in Greek, he could speak that. Now, you could go on down the line, he could speak all those languages. So this man was pretty smart. And the word man, when he used it, was taken from the scriptures. That's where they got it from. Men was scriptural. And it means also, if you go to Strong's, they have to blush in the face. So if you come up here again, I think I said this in the conversation earlier, and you tell me that this black male is a man, that's where I guess we get the word black male from, you're wrong, because he does not blush in the face. He can't. It's impossible.
Anybody that says that they said that all men are created equal and they have a right to be a citizen here is an idiot. All right, because if you go to the Federalist Papers, number 2, written by John Jay, he describes who the citizens that have the right to hold public office, to cast ballots, or sit on a jury box, or in a jury box, I should say. Okay, he describes it in Federalist Paper, number 2, John Jay very clearly describes Caucasian men. All right? Federalist Paper, number 2, go read it. It's the documents they wrote to tell the colonists what was in the Constitution and why they should support it, okay? So go argue with John Jay, one of the founding fathers. And by the way, it wasn't just Thomas Jefferson. Most of the philosophers and leaders that were part of making this country were very avid readers and students, and most of them were bilingual. Most of them could speak 3, 4, 5 languages. I think even Benjamin Franklin was one of them. Many of the other founders could speak more than one language because they weren't wasting their time sitting in front of a flat screen watching moronic Jewish productions or playing asinine games. Instead, they were thinking and reading books. Imagine that. Actually reading philosophers and history so that they would be better equipped to do what? The war against the beast. Okay, the beast couldn't win with people that are educated. The beast wins when it's low IQ, beer-drinking, swizzling, drug-taking white men sitting on their asses thinking somebody else is going to fix the problem. Hey, I got news for you guys. That's what the hell we were put here for. Adam was put in the garden, which is the earth, to what? To keep the garden. Go read what that is in the original language. To keep the garden. That means that's our job. It's not some idiot in government who's a bureaucrat, who's low IQ, who's probably corrupt, and probably a pervert. Government
Pastor.
Just means control the mental processes, control the mind, make us think that we need them. The last thing government wants is you to figure out we don't need their sorry asses.
Pastor, you know, I would like to have you explain to the people what garden is. The reason is a lot of people have in their minds that they were here to, you know, like the trees, you know, to prune the trees and, you know, dig around the garden, make sure so the flowers can grow. And, you know, think as I keep going on that. And you see, it's never explained to most people that garden means men. These trees are families. They're not a tree.
Also, the word that it's taken from means a protected area. The trees in the garden represent men. The garden itself is earth. It's a protected area. We're under a dome. We're under the firmament. Okay, it makes perfect sense. You're basically in a terrarium, okay? And people say, well, Dan, that sounds kind of cruel and makes like God's just making a mockery of us. Well, I got news for you. Where does it say that the pot can argue with the potter?
Mm-hmm.
All right? You're the clay, and he put this all together. If he wants to put us in a terrarium to test us, who the hell are you or me to argue with him? You had nothing to do with you being here. Not a single one of you listening to my voice had a thing to do with you being on this earth. Not one thing. And yet you're here. Your spirit is here. That bag of bones that you walk around in is here. You're being tested, whether you know it or not. And you're being tested because of what lies on the other side of that firmament, which we have never been through, by the way. NASA is a lie. The whole space program's a freaking lie. All that bullshit is a lie. Get used to what the Bible has told you and the prophets told you and your common sense ought to tell you. If you think you're standing on a ball spinning 1,100 miles per hour at the equator, you are dumber than a freaking box of rocks. Please, open your freaking eyes and take a look at the horizon. Take a look around you. Is there anything at all going on in the atmosphere above you that even begins to appear as a ball spinning 1,100 miles per hour? Tell me, one thing in that sky, when you look up at it, that it says that, yep, we're on a ball spinning 1,100 miles per hour. And don't tell me about the Coriolis effect. Cornelius. Cornelius was paid by the Catholic Church to come up with the whole globe earth bullshit story. Why? Because it takes you away from God. That's why. Because you're just a meaningless speck in the vast reaches of the universe with all of these billions and billions of stars and blah, 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 blah. Everything about the space that they tell you about violates the third law of thermodynamics. Everything they tell you about space violates the vanishing point. Just go look up vanishing point, folks. Your eyeballs cannot see anything beyond the vanishing point. I don't care how big it is. You can't see it. Something as simple as that, just knowing what the vanishing point is, tells you that thing you call the sun and the moon ain't what you've been told. People
well,
today
Pastor,
had better get their discernment. What?
Pastor, to me, it, you know, I've heard all kinds of sides to the argument. It doesn't make any difference to me. Christ is still there. That's the center point. That's the one that I have to worship is right there. And what he is telling us to do is what we better damn well start doing and stop playing games with the satanic ones, and that's what you talked about a lot this morning, is the damn Jews. Those were his children. You know, why are we messing with his children? I don't know how they got in the garden, but they're here. And we're warned about these guys. But a lot of people say, oh, those are God's chosen people. Who in the hell told you that? They're God's chosen
all
people.
All right. You know, some of the people, look, whether you believe in the shape of the earth is the way I believe, it doesn't matter. Gary, you're right about that point. As far as what we got to do down here, it makes no difference either way. However, why would Wernher von Braun, the German in charge of the space program, why would he put that psalm on his tombstone that talks about the firmament? Why would he put it there? Do you think he might have been trying to tell us something? Again, it doesn't matter in the long run because you're trapped here, okay? Whether their version is right or what I believe is right, it doesn't really matter. The point is you're here for the duration. You're not going to some other planet or any other place. You're here. If you believe the fairy tales about space exploration and you're traveling in space, I'm sorry, but you're here. And I'm going to tell you something. You ain't leaving here. You're not leaving here on a spaceship, a rocket ship, a bird, a slingshot, a cannon. Nothing's going to take your sorry ass out of this earth until the Father's done with you. So
Pastor,
if you want to believe all that hokum pokum with Mr. Nye and Neil deGrasse Tyson and all the rest of the actors and their phony baloney stories, hey, you have a nut. I don't really care. But the point of it is, you and I are here for the duration, and if you don't wake the hell up, the Bolsheviks win.
Pastor,
to me, the whole argument about what's on the other side of the firmament is a complete waste of time. Complete waste of time. And I'm not going to break up my fellowship with anybody over the shape of the world. I'm not going to do it over that. Now, if they want to, that's your prerogative. But my point of it is, at the end of the day, you and I are here for the duration. There is no rapture. There is no space program. And you sure as hell aren't leaving this earth under any circumstances. Do you get that? That's the point you need to take home. The rest of it is just fireside chat. As my special forces buddy used to say, Dan, let's win our country back, and then we can sit around the campfire and debate the finer points of theology. We can debate the finer points of the shape of the earth and the finer points of space around the campfire after we take these goddamn Jews and all of their bullshit and we get rid of it. Because until then, nothing is going to work. This world will continue to slide into the abyss, and the demons will control the world if the righteous are going to sit on their ass and just let them get away with it.
Pastor, I just wanted to ask you a question. You brought up the word birds. I'll never forget the wife and I, we were going, you know, someplace up in North County, and all of a sudden we seen, I mean, acres of birds where there was a construction site going on, you know, and it was still in the framing prospect, you know, and there was birds everywhere in there, you know, they, standing on the wood, down the ground. I mean, the ground was black, and then for acres, and they kept coming in, you know, and landing around this one area. They were, you know, those black birds, those big ones, what they called crows, ravens, I don't know what they're called, but the big ones. And we're going, what the heck is going on? I've never seen anything like this. Never. I mean, you're talking multi-thousands of birds just coming in. And I never did get it. I'm going to ask Pastor Dan about that. He might know something, but I keep forgetting it. But now that you brought up the word bird, it come to my mind, and I want to ask you the question, is there anything to that? To me, they were gathering for something. And
well, let's face it, the animal kingdom can respond to things because they don't have any agenda. They have instincts. They can sense things that we can't sense. For instance, dogs and cats have much better vision and much better eyes than we do, better ears. They can hear better. They can hear frequencies we can't hear. So the animal world can respond to things much differently than we do. So is there an upheaval coming? Well, you can feel it. I know lots of people contact me. They say they can feel it. So it's not just the animals that know something's about ready to bust forth on this earth. A lot of people have contacted me saying the same thing, and you can sense it. Okay, we're at the end of the age. This is the final curtain call. You either get it now or it's over.
This was an apartment complex construction site. In other words, it was just coming out of the ground. Well, actually, it was complete as far as the framing. And I don't know what was there, but they were all around that. And I'm going, what is in the center of this crap? Is there something there, like you said, a frequency? These birds were, Pastor, if you saw this, you'd go, what the heck is going on? They weren't in the street, but they were on the sides of the road so you could travel through and everything. It's just like they were smart and they were following something.
Well, maybe they were, but, how in the hell would I know? I mean, I have no idea. Is it possible? Certainly. They picked up something, obviously. Okay, it's like over in Wales. My buddy in Wales, Brother Mike over there, sent a thing where a bunch of thousands of birds on a seashore. Well, what happened to them? I don't know. Okay, again, the animal kingdom is more perceptive than we give them credit for. So there's stuff going on, and again, I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea.
The first thing that came to my mind when I saw all these birds was when Noah was on the ark and he sent the raven out. It never came back. And then he put the dove out and he came back with a branch in his mouth. And then, of course, to have a branch in your mouth means there has to be trees. And you can't, if there's a flood, there's no trees. But I've always thought about that. And then when I saw all them birds there, these ravens, and I've seen them. They're a terrible bird. They're tricky. They can, I've seen them flying upside down. I've seen them playing with each other in the sky, and doing all kinds of tricks and things. But no other bird does the things that I have seen them do. Not that they can't. I just have never seen them do it. But these big ravens, those ravens, those ones that are real big. You guys got them down there in Florida? The real big ones, blackbirds?
You're talking about vultures?
I don't know what they are. They're big. They're almost as big as a chicken.
Yeah, vultures. Vultures are huge.
No, these aren't vultures, though. They don't have that kind of peak on the end. They got a regular beak. And they look like a blackbird that you see, but, there's different sizes of blackbirds that I've seen, and this were the big ones.
Yeah, but they're not that big. I've never seen a blackbird even close to the size of a vulture. So if you're talking something big like a vulture, or are you talking about a regular bird?
It's a regular bird, but it's as big, pretty big. Now, they're not as big as a vulture, but they're pretty big. And
I have no idea. I have no idea, unless it's an eagle or a hawk. Hawks get that big, too.
Yeah, these aren't hawks. We have hawks around here.
Lane says it could be crows. Sometimes crows get pretty damn big, too.
Yeah, I thought about that they are crows, But, you got crows, ravens, all these birds that are black. And these are big, so they would be probably crows. And aren't those the ones that you can clip their tongue and they can talk? I'm not sure. But
I have no idea.
But these things were, acres of the damn things. If you've seen it, Danny, what's going on here? And then you see...
Well, again, we were told we're going to see all kinds of strange stuff.
I did.
The heavens and the earth. So this is all part, again, of the end of the age scenario. And that's what people have to understand. There is no rhyme or reason. It's all part of it. And somehow, when it's all said and done, we'll know when it gets here. Until then, your guess is as good as mine. I want to do a quote here from the CIA director, William Casey, back in 1981. So this is before all of the, quote, fake and phony terrorism that Kissinger told us about started. He said, we'll know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false. Now, when I was with EFR, Eurofolk Radio, Paul told me that he had a guy tell him in England that used to be with the military intelligence there, like a 007, one of those high-level spies. He was retired. He was in his 70s. And he told him, make a long story short, he told him that when he became an agent, they took him to a remote location and kept them sequestered for a couple months and said, now that you're at this level, you have to know the real history of the world. He said, because everything that the people out there think and were taught in school is a lie. So there's a double witness. A double witness. Everything we were taught in school is a lie. Period. So you think about it. How many of us are hurting, of our people today are hurting because of the lies? The medical profession, lies. The pharmaceutical profession is a lie. Okay, psychiatry is a Jewish conception. It's a lie. The media lies. The government lies. The military lies. And I was in the military. I know for sure it lies. The power industry lies. I was in the power industry. Yep, I know they're lying to you. I can tell you thousands of cases where they lied to the public. Okay, lie after lie after lie after lie. And yet you can go to a textbook where it's telling you, oh, this and that. They'll show you nice glossy pictures. They'll give you all kinds of names and credentials. Guess what? It's all fabrication. Just like they told you that we came here and took the land from the American Indians. Well, first of all, which Indians are you talking about? The eastern part of the United States was inhabited by Caucasian Indians, the white Indians. The western half was occupied by Asiatics that came across the Bering Strait. Okay, so which Indians are you talking about? Who did we displace? Our cousins, the white Indians? Okay, they lie to you about that. They lie to you about the fact the Vikings were here. They lie to you about the fact that the Israelites were here 3,500 years ago. And we have evidence of it. Okay, just go read the books by Stephen Collins, the archaeologist. He's got a series of books talking about the Israelites coming over here on ships that were big enough to carry hundreds of horses, troops, supplies, and took three layers on the ship of oarsmen to move them. That's how big these ships were. They were huge. And yet your storybooks tell you the Santa Maria, the Pinta, and the Nina were the vessels that discovered America. Little tiny ships. Tiny little ships. Where our ancestors 3,500 years ago had ships big enough to carry all that and easily traversed from the Mediterranean to North and South America. Okay? 3,500 years ago. And we've got archaeological evidence to prove it. Okay? So people, once again, if you want to continue to believe the lies, be my guest. But don't tune in here expecting me to follow suit. I'm not going to do it. Unless you can show me hard evidence, I'm not going to do it. And I mean evidence, not hearsay, not some textbook that's written by a Jew, not some fabricated painting that's put together by a bunch of Jewish paid artists and painters, not some organization like NASA that's run by a bunch of corrupt assholes from the top down. Always has been.
Pastor, I wanted to say one thing. And what you just said, it supports what you're saying, and I'm pretty sure it comes right out of the scriptures. Everything that you see today, everything, didn't skip a word there, has been done once before. So there's nothing out there that's new. So it's already been done. Well, they never had airplanes. Yeah, they did, because the Bible says it did. Well, they didn't have jet airplanes. Yeah, they did, because the Bible says it did. You see, either I believe that, or I don't believe nothing. So I believe that. It says it's already been done. You know, and it didn't make it.
Wow.
So you look at America now, it's already been done once before. As a matter of fact, Rome didn't. It's hard to say what Rome had, because I'm reading some of Collins' books now, and they already had a battery. The Parthians did. And who were the Parthians? The Parthians were the Israelites. They were in different tribes. They're called Parthians. They fought Rome, and they beat Rome three times. So it shows you they were a powerhouse. And as I'm reading the book, Steve Collins says, why aren't these talked about? We hear a lot about Rome, but nothing about the Parthians. It's because we're led by the Jews. The Jews want us to think that the Antichrist Romans were the strongest thing in town. No. The Israelites were kicked out and become tribes out there. They were the Parthians. They were the strongest things in town. And then it gives you the way they used to fight and what have you. And I think I heard you talk about it once. They used to fight. They didn't wear armor. They stripped down naked. And that's how they would fight. I don't know.
The Gauls in France did that. The Gauls, okay?
Yeah.
But there's another reason why they promote. There's another reason they promote Rome. It isn't just because, well, the Romans, a lot of the paganism of the Romans is actually based on biblical principles and the people of the Bible. They just changed the names. So they weren't completely pagan. They weren't completely antichrist. But the reason why the Jew wants so much significance put on Rome, because that's where the Vatican is. Okay? Roads lead to Rome. They want you to think of Rome as the center of religiosity, because that's where the Antichrist Vatican is located. If you talk about Parthia, which was much further to the east, now you're giving credibility to the Eastern religions and to the Aryans that we became Confucius and Buddha and all that. Well, they don't want you. They want you corralled into one world religion, which is what Christianity today is, one world religion, under the auspices of the Vatican. Because what are the Protestant denominations? They're the daughters of the whore. Okay?
Well, you know, Pastor,
people say, well, no, Dan, I'm a Protestant. No, you're not. You're still a product of the Catholic Church. You just Martin Luther put the 99 thesis on the door. You just got upset, so you branched off, but you're still part of the Catholic Church. The whole church service reminds you of what they do in the Catholic Church. It's religiosity. It's ritual. The very things that Christ hated.
Well, Dan, how come you and I don't go to church, as they call it, and yet we're still Christians, and we know the scriptures, and we know what you're supposed to do. We know history. We know all this stuff. And we don't go to church. How can this be? It's absolutely amazing, isn't it? And then I could. There's another thing while you were talking about the Catholic Church. When I was young, of course, my parents, my mother was a Catholic grandmother and all that. My grandmother used to walk 2.5 miles to church. She was dedicated to being a Catholic. And I went to Catholic school. And the thing that used to. They would confuse me in there because they, first of all, they would tell us that Jesus. You worship nobody but Jesus, but they have us worshiping his mother. That used to confuse me. And then they would say, in the catechism, call nobody father. And yet we're calling the priest over there father. So, you know, I got confused on just a few of those issues. And, you know, why would they say one thing and they want you to do another thing? The issue is Christ never said that. Christ said, call nobody father, because, you see, even Jesus doesn't command you to call him father. Jesus says, our Father in heaven. He doesn't say, I'm the Father. He did say that they are the same, but he never called himself the Father. So why are we calling some Catholic priest a father? He's not. You can call him preacher or something like that, but just because he went to seminary, that's no big deal. You know, it's...
Well, lots of people read, but they don't believe, okay? First of all, it's very, very hard to find people that go to church, any kind of church, that actually read anything. Just look at America, okay? We operate under a thing called the United States Constitution. How many people know anything about it? How many people have taken a job where they had to take an oath that they would uphold it, but they don't know a goddamn thing in it? Not one thing in it. I've talked to all kinds of people over the years. And I'm not saying I'm a constitutional expert, but I have read it numerous times, and I keep copies of it around. So how many people have jobs where they said, well, we're going to take this job, and we promise we'll obey the Constitution, but they don't know a damn thing in it? How many people claim to be Bible believers, but don't know one goddamn thing in it? All right? They don't.
That's true.
They don't claim it.
That governor, Pastor, that governor of Virginia, who wants to, you know, Virginia used to be a pretty good state, then all of a sudden now he wants to take everybody's arms away. You know, and I read in the Constitution, there's a word in there in the Second Amendment called infringe upon. He's infringing big time. He wants to take away my gun. Why isn't somebody confronting this clown and telling him that? They're doing it, you know, and of course, but then the judges, of course, are complacent with this kind of crap. And then, you know, so he gets to get away with it. He should be hung. Because you're not supposed to go against the Constitution of our government. And if you're going to do that, that means you're a person that wants to take over our land. A usurper.
Well, it's even worse than that, because we don't even need a constitution to have the right to hold him accountable for treason, because he's going against the word of our Father. Our Father,
yes.
Christ himself said, if you don't have a sword, go out and sell some of your clothing and get one. Okay, a sword back then is the same thing as an AR-15 today. All right? So people that, you know, they get wrapped up in the Constitution. The Constitution was made by men, folks. The scriptures were written by guys that were talking for the Father. The people that wrote the Constitution might not have been. The point of it is, it's a document. It's created by men, and it gets you away from the idea that we are God's people and we operate according to his law. That's what they're trying to get you away from. So that if these assholes get together and they say, well, we'll interpret the Constitution for you, or we're going to amend the Constitution. Well, guess what? But you can't amend the Father's Word. For the people that are believers that know the Father's Word, well, you can play with the Constitution all you want, because, number one, it doesn't apply to me. It applies to public servants. It tells them what they can and cannot do. It doesn't say a damn thing about me. So stop it altogether.
Pastor, it's just like, if you go by what the Constitution says, okay, it's pretty specific. For instance, in the Second Amendment, it says, shall not infringe. That's pretty simple to me. And it's written for simple people. I'm simple. You know, so it says not to infringe. Yeah, but then all of a sudden I find out they're closing up our country. You can't go to the store. You can't go to church. You can't go get gas in your car. You know, there's a whole bunch of things all of a sudden you can't do. Wait a minute. Why are they in violation? See, my thing is, where are the people that's holding these people that call themselves our government, for instance, here in California, the government, how are they getting away with this crap? And then you
because
go back.
Because everybody's sitting on their ass in their home not doing anything. Exactly why.
Well,
okay. All power is inherent in the people themselves. That's where it starts. The people themselves. Even the federal constitution says that when the government people don't do what we ask them to do, and they become traitors and disobedient servants, we have the right to alter, reform, or even abolish that government and start over again. Because you and I don't need a piece of paper to defend our homes and defend our rights, and we don't need to listen to any of these dictates of these morons who claim they have a right to tell us stay in our house or wear a mask or get a vaccine. They don't have that right unless you give it to them.
Pastor, now that you've gotten to almost the issue, is this not the vaccine but the virus itself, where did that come from? We find out that it was made here by a couple of Jews, then taken to China, okay? And then China, of course, used their people to experiment with, killed 25 million, and then they said, well, that's good. So then they shipped those guys all around the world so that they can give it to everybody in the world.
Well,
and
first
why
of all,
aren't we out there? Why isn't our government out there hunting these people down and hanging them? pay
because
me.
You don't
that.
Have a government, Gary.
I know.
How many times do we have to tell you? You don't have a government.
Well, they got
these
me fooled.
People parading around in government offices aren't working for you. They're not working for me.
We had
we
one
don't
here.
Have a government. We don't have a government, a representative government. You have a corporation.
Yes.
And the Jews run the corporation, period.
Yes.
It operates exactly like a corporation. And you are not part of the corporation, and neither am I, and they don't give a damn.
Yes, I am. I put my money in there. They take my money.
Doesn't matter.
That's the only part.
Nope. Nope. When the mob guy comes up to your business and puts a gun in your face and says, I want my protection money, you're not part of the mob. You just put the protection money up because they threaten to shoot you. Well, it's the same thing when the government takes your money and they call it a taxation. No difference. They're putting a gun to your head. We're here from the mob. The mob boss wants his money. You give it to him because if you don't, we're going to come back and burn your business down with you in it. That's exactly how it's run.
Pastor, another thing they're doing is they're taking our money and giving it to other countries. I'm saying taking our money, not us giving. And they're giving it to other countries for whatever reason. And then they're taking our money and feeding other countries' people. Well, you know, you don't want those poor things to die, do you? I don't give a shit. You know, that's up to their country to feed them. It's up to their country to come together like we did, copy us a little bit, and feed their people. Well,
Gary,
you know, we can't feed their people and keep the president of that country in power. I don't give a shit.
Gary,
you know, excuse my English, Pastor, but I don't give a crap if those people die. Maybe they got to learn by doing it. But instead, our people come over, well, we want to give them our money and help them out. One time I was downtown, and this guy was up there preaching about this, and all the people were doing all their stuff. Oh, I got a story to tell you here in a minute. It just happened to me. But anyway, this, you know, and I said, you know, I don't care. Well, I shouldn't have, that was the wrong spot to say that. But I told them, I don't care if they starve. Their government should be taking care of them, not me. They have their own families also. That should be taking care of them, not me. I go out and I work hard to support my family, and then they want to take my money. That's crap. Well, I shouldn't have said that, and that's surrounding. But anyway, I was in the doctor's office 3 weeks ago, and I was sitting there waiting to have, you know, to see the doctor. And it's a pretty big office building. And in walks this girl, redhead, white, blue eyes, and she's got this shirt on that says, Black People Matter. And I asked her, I says, well, what about white people? She says, well, they matter too. I says, how come you don't have that on your shirt? Well, then we got into a discussion, not an argument. She said the black people were in slavery. She says, and the white people never were. I says, oh, yes, we were. As a matter of fact, there was farm holders at that time, or plantation holders, who were black. And I says, and they were rich, and they had white people as slaves. I says, we don't hear about that too much. You've got to search the readings on that, and you'll find out that we were slaves. I says, what about in Egypt? You know, weren't we slaves at that time? Oh, well, how do you know? Those were Jews. Well, that's true. Well, they were this color. That's what you say. That's not what I've read. And so the discussion stopped because I had my doctor called me or something. And so what happened is there was a secretary sitting there, and she didn't like what I had to say. She supported the girl with the Black Lives Matter shirt on, you know, versus me. And all I did was say, they're saying that she has a right. This is what the owner of the building said, or the administrator. She has a right to wear that shirt. I says, that's right. And it was talking. It said Black Lives Matter. I says, I can read. So obviously that it was, you know, out loud. The only difference between her shirt and me is I said, what about White Lives Matter? And I discussed it, and she was talking to me too. I said, but it appears to me you're going to support her, who is doing the same exact thing as myself, but you're going to support the Black Lives Matter. That's a communist organization, a Marxist organization. And, of course, I got kicked out of there. I don't get to come back anymore to my doctor's office that I've been going to for, in that Scripps here in San Diego, for 25 years.
Well,
all of a sudden,
that's right.
Time for me to go. Well,
time
I
for
can
to go. Again, what's Father doing? Father's telling us to get out of what? Babylon. Okay? What are we supposed to do according to Scriptures at this time? Come out of Babylon.
Well, that's right.
Okay. Well, he's forcing us out of Babylon. You're going to do one of two things. You're either going to bend the knee and be a cuck and go along with the New World Order and kiss their ass, or you're going to stand your ground and be truthful. And if you do that, Babylon doesn't want you in it. You're going to accept the mark, which is identifying you as a cuck and a slave to the system, or you're going to be a truth teller, and you're going to find a way of getting it done outside the system. Everything happening right now is forcing Yahweh's people out of Babylon, which they were too lazy to do up until now. They were too lazy, too comfortable, too many toys, too many cars, too much television, too much entertainment. They didn't give a damn. Now, all of a sudden, Babylon has turned. The beast is ready to turn on you. Okay?
Well,
the beast allowed you to think that you were free, to think that you had control in your life, only because it wasn't time yet. Well, the beast is ready to close the doors on you and your family now.
Well, see,
so
Pastor,
how does it feel?
See, Pastor, the thing that probably bothered me the most is I thought the conversation was just between me and that girl, because she's not the one that talked to the administrator. The one that talked to the administrator was the one that was eavesdropping.
Know what rule you violated?
Which rule? They didn't tell me that.
Yeah, you violated a rule. Do you know what rule that was?
No, I don't.
Don't cast your pearls before swine.
Oh, yeah,
right?
You violated that rule.
Oh, no, doesn't matter. You violated that rule because you were in a room full of swine and you tried to teach truth to the swine. And you got,
the wife
you got tread underfoot. You got tread underfoot exactly as Messiah told his disciples. What did he say? If you teach these truths to the swine, they will turn and rend you with it, tear you down with it. And what happened to you? You got
torn down with it, didn't you? Yeah, I wouldn't have told the receptionist. I didn't know there was one sitting there.
The girl with the shirt on, what do you think she was?
She was a pig.
Okay. You were trying to tell a swine to stop being a swine.
Stop being a pig.
Well, doesn't matter. She's a swine. And you were laying out pearls of wisdom to a swine. And you just
I don't want to see that shirt. She can wear that shirt at home, but don't wear it in front of me.
No. She's in Babylon. She's doing the right thing in Babylon. You don't belong in Babylon. You need to go find a dentist who's one of our people and does things organically and get your teeth fixed with them and stop supporting Babylon. That's the
lesson. I'm not going to that anymore. I already called them and told them, you guys made it plain to me. I'm not going in there. And then after I said that, then they said, oh, that's what we want to call you and tell you not to come in no more. I said, well, you can't do that, but I'm not coming in. And I'm calling up the Scripps is a big, organization. It's like Kaiser. That's what it is here. And they have all kinds of facilities. And they said, what am I going to do now when your doctor calls me? I can't go there. Well, you can go all the way up to so-and-so. He has an office up there. See, they play this game. I said, he has an office right there, too. I said, I have a right to go in there. It's because if I don't have a right to go in there, neither does that woman that had that BLM shirt on. I went into that argument. I know it's a waste of time. Elka told me it's a waste of time.
Exactly. You're arguing with the beast.
And he's going
to,
Why
do you want to go to that dentist? Why do you want to go to that dentist?
Well, it wasn't a dentist. It was a foot doctor.
Well, it doesn't matter. Why did you want to go to that doctor?
I've been going to that doctor for 15 years.
Do you have insurance?
Yes.
Do you pay him with insurance?
Yeah. See, he's in a building where there's a lot of doctors.
Wait a minute. You're not listening to what I'm asking. Okay? So what drives you to use that doctor?
The insurance company.
Yeah. If you didn't have insurance, would you be going to that doctor?
Probably not. It's hard to say because I have that. What's that thing?
Well, the point of it is, who owns the insurance industry?
Not me or you.
Well, yeah, who? Jews. Okay?
Most likely.
Who do you think makes money with that foot doctor? Who do you think runs the corporations that supply all the things that the foot doctor is going to recommend? And who owns the schools that train the foot doctor? Jews. Who makes the money from your misery going into there? Jews. Who owns Babylon? Jews. And so here you're going to support a Jew system because insurance. This is exactly why I said, if I were the monarch of this world, if Yahweh ever gave me the scepter, the very first thing I would do is outlaw insurance. Every insurance would come to an end, and people
would
have to pay as they go. What?
I would outlaw the Jews.
Well, the Jews would be the first people that sent packing, but the first businesses to go down would be insurance companies and all corporations. Because they're unbiblical, okay? Charity is voluntary. Today, insurances are demanded. That's why I don't have insurance. You just explained in a nutshell why I do not carry health insurance, and I never have carried health insurance. I will decide who I will go visit.
Well, this is insurance supported by the government, not me. It's my Social Security.
It's still insurance. So, it's insurance telling you what you're going to do for your health care.
Yes.
No difference. If somebody else is in charge of making... Look, I just lost my sister because of insurance.
Well,
I know what I'm talking about.
Hospitals are terrible.
Well, I lost my sister because a decision to have surgery, which she should not have had, was made based on insurance. If insurance wasn't there, she would never have had the surgery and would probably be alive today.
I have a sister.
And she's not the only family member. What?
I have a sister. She's 75. She's my younger sister. But she's not the youngest. But the other sisters are seeing what's happening to her because there's five of us, but we're all old. And all of us are at least in our 60s or 70s. And she's in a care facility because she got lots of problems. She made a mistake when she was somewhat younger, not a lot. She drank all the way up into her 70s. And she didn't drink, she drank abusively. And what's happened is it has done some damage to parts of her body. She can't see very good. She can't hear very good. She can't walk. Can't talk very well, so it's basically just destroyed her body. And I can't go see her because of the coronavirus. If you walk in here, you got all these sick people, yet you got governors who sent absolute people with coronavirus into these facilities to be taken care of. But I can't go see my sister because of the coronavirus. This don't make sense. But the way things are going now, it's sickening to me. You know, I want to see my sister. I mean, she's 75, and she's got all these problems. And, yes, I might be older, but, I'm not in one of those, praise God, I'm not in one of those facilities.
Well, I just read the letter from one of our listeners in Mississippi. He lost his mother 9 months alone, no family, because they wouldn't let her go. And now she's gone.
Yeah, see, we had a hard time with my sister. I can't say this enough,
all right? How many times have we talked about this? Get out of Babylon.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well,
we got all kinds of people bemoaning what's happening to us, and yet we're still in Babylon. How much more do people have to see?
I know, Pastor, here's the problem in my case. My sister has to have somebody watch her all the time because of what she's done to herself. Now, a lot of people say the family, well, she's got five kids. No, she got more, she got six. And the two of her daughters do watch, go like to see her. They go see her in a facility she's in, what have you. But the others, they don't pay any attention to her. I go see her. So it's up to the family, but there's nobody in the family got enough money to have them live in their house and what have you. It is. Now, the boys in that family make good money. As a matter of fact, one of the boys is making good money, and she took care of him until he was in his 30s. She let him live with her. She fed him, and he don't give a shit. This is why I think when you go beyond what the Lord says you're supposed to take care of your kids, they're going to be a problem because they don't respect that. You know,
when Christ was in the home healing people and they came to him and said, your mother and your brothers are outside, they want to talk to you, what did he tell them?
These are my mothers and sisters. That, you know, I left that house a long time ago is what he was basically saying.
That's right. Yes. My family's inside here. Inside here are the people that listen to what I say. Inside here are the people that are going to do what I ask them to do. Okay? Those other people, their blood, they got the same DNA as you, but they're not part of your family. That's the tough love nobody seems to get nowadays. I've told my family, if you don't love the white race, I don't care who you are. I don't want to talk to you again. And that includes my grandchildren and my children. I don't want to talk to you. If you believe in this communist antichrist system, then I don't want to talk to you. You're not my family.
It's called Antifa.
Well, it's communist. It's communism.
It's a Marxist. They said on TV it's a Marxist organization that runs around burning down buildings. Now, they went through the thing and they described what the Marxists have done and know what they had to do. And I've heard you talk about it in Info Item. They have to run around being little terrorists, burning down buildings and, well, these guys pull down statues and all kinds of things. This is what they have to do. And I've seen this even on TV, Fox, where they should be taken care of. Why is not the governor sending in the troops? Why is not the mayor sending in a troop? You know, this is what they're saying. You know, the good guys that are left, there's maybe two or three of them, why? And they flat call him out. What's that guy's name that comes on Fox? What's that guy's name, honey, that we like?
Tucker.
Tucker Carlson. He says, why aren't they? He says, what is this? He says, you put these guys
it's
in office.
It's all part of the show, Gary.
Yeah, well, he...
It's all part of the show.
But he wants to know why they're not doing it, and I ask the same questions. Why is that mayor allowing here in San Diego they started to do that? I called the mayor's office and says, why, he's the mayor. Why don't he step down and let me in there, somebody that knows how to take care of this shit? You don't allow your city to be destroyed by a group of idiots. You know, you hang them.
Yeah, you do. No, you don't.
That's right. You hang them, and they don't like it when you say
not when
like
it's,
that.
You're in Babylon.
Well,
these
we want to start
are
hanging.
Run by communists. Okay? You're asking a communist to stop other communists. Gary, who's the silly one? All right?
Me.
You're asking a communist to stop the communists. Please.
No.
Every one of these areas where these assholes are operating is in democratically controlled area, which you might as well say communist.
Why
would anybody think that the communists are going to stop the communists?
Well, you figure the major cities that are involved, Los Angeles, New York, the governors of those states are Democrats. The mayors of those cities are Democrats. You get up into
communists.
Pennsylvania.
Communists. Call them what they are, communists.
Yeah, and I've said that many times, but a lot of people say, oh, no, they're not. They're just Democrats. They're just this and that. That's horse shit. Why would a guy that I elect to go into office, I never elected these guys, been elected, and you know, here's the things that they're supposed to do. Why are they violating that? Why aren't they doing something? They have control over the National Guard. They can send them in there in a minute. You know, why are these other clowns that are running around the streets burning down houses? I mean, they got cameras showing the guys throwing stuff in the window and then running. All they have to do is go back to the camera, see who they are, go arrest them. You don't need to go to trial and all that. You got film right there. Proves that they did this. You just hang the bastard right there. All you got to do is hang about 10 or 15 of them. That shit stops real quick. Because if they think they're going to get hung when they get caught, they ain't going to do that. But if they think, oh, I can get away with it, they're going to do it. You got some guy up there banging on a piece of glass with a crowbar. Wait a minute. That guy, you capture him right there and you hang him on the spot.
Yeah, but you're assuming that righteous people are in charge. They're not.
Oh, I know. I'm just telling you what Pastor Dan would do. Pastor Dan would probably do this. He'd say, capture that son of a bitch. Okay? And when you come here and you show the pictures to him and everybody else, isn't that you? Well, it does look like that's you. Okay? And then the next thing you know, you see a gallows being built. That stuff stops. They did it in the old days. It stops.
Well, when the people want an actual solution to the problem, they'll come looking for people like us to make decisions. Until then, it's just going to keep getting worse. How much worse?
I
don't know. It takes till the people get off their ass, pick up their weapons, and come to the leaders who will make a difference and say, I'm willing to fight to get this fixed. Okay? Until you're willing to fight, you're not going to, it's nothing going to change. Nothing's going to change.
Pastor, remember when we were in school? Well, I know when I was in school, so I'm a little older than the pastor. I can remember when they said when somebody would break the law, you know, it would be simple laws too, what they do is they put them in these stocks. And if people don't know what a stock is, it's that thing that holds your hands and your head in between so you can't get away. And then people would walk by and throw tomatoes and things of that nature at them. Actually, the teacher said they would throw rocks at them. You know, so they had to be there so long. And when they got out of those stocks, you know, they wouldn't want to go back. And other people would see these people in stocks, and they wouldn't want to go there, so they would try to behave themselves. But that's what they used to do back in the days of the colonies. You know, it wasn't, well, let's wait and do this and put them in jail, make sure they're fed right and have a nice bed. They put them in stocks, and they had to stay out there overnight. And if it's cold, you know, you don't say, can I have a jacket? You just you get cold. And if you're being, stuff is thrown at you, you got those wounds to worry about also. So that's what they used to do in this country when it first started. What happened? We got a bunch of
people started listening to preachers instead of listening to what the Bible says. That's what happened. The people that founded the colonists that came over here were carrying their Bibles. They read their Bibles. They believed their Bibles. They operated according to the Bible. They didn't have a bunch of government communists telling them they couldn't implement the Bible. So when they found a rapist or a murderer or a kidnapper or a pedophile, they executed them. Okay.
Either that, or
they made it public execution, not private in a prison, out in public where everybody can see exactly what's going on. This shit that he's doing behind closed doors that don't fly. In public, you execute the criminals, and you punish the other people. You could say whether or not it was cruel and unusual or not. The point of it is consequences. You have to have the people see there's consequences for bad behavior. Well, we gave up on that because the Jew psychologist came in and said, well, you white guys, you're following the Bible, and that's cruel and unusual because if we follow the Bible, most of us fellow Jews are going to end up getting killed because we're homosexuals, we're perverts, we're rapists, we're pedophiles, we're transgenderites, we're communists. well, my God, if you guys follow what the Bible says, you're going to have to kill all of us. And the dumbass white people said, oh, Miss Sigmund Freud, you Jews must be smarter than us, so you're right. We should not hurt the criminals. We should put them in prisons where the Jew can go in and go, well, that's my fellow Jew over there, so we'll exonerate him. Oh, that's another Jew over there, so we'll do like Bill Clinton did. 200 convicted felon Jews got set free on the last day of office, and nobody raised hell about it. He went all those millions of dollars spent to prosecute these damn Jews and put them in prison, and Bill Clinton went in there because his buddy, his wife was met by one of them and given a, or no, he was met by the wife of one of them, Mark Rich, and she had a bag full of money and probably gave him a few other things in the office. And next thing you know, Mark Rich is out of prison. How about that? Defrauded all kinds of people of millions and millions of dollars. We paid to put him in prison, and Bill Clinton got a bag full of money and probably a blowjob, and now Mark Rich is a free man. That's how it works. Because these are not righteous people. They're not. You don't have a government of godly people. You've got a corporatocracy. You've got a red mafia running the government as if it's part of the mob.
Well, the last time,
the
Pastor,
only thing going to fix this is a righteous army. The only thing going to fix this is an army of righteous men who said, I'm not going to take this shit no more. Period. Done. End of story. The only thing that's going to turn around is God's men saying, I've had enough.
Well, Pastor, the last people, I think they were called the Rosensteins, back in the 50s.
Rosenbergs,
okay. They violated the law. They wanted to sell out our country.
They were
country.
Spies.
And they were communist spies. And what happened to them when they went to trial, they were found guilty, and they were sent to the gas chambers. They were killed. Now, they don't do that anymore. What happened? There's a whole bunch of them out here. You know, I mean, Hillary Clinton on down the line, they should be Bill Clinton off to the gas chambers, off to the gallows. I like the gallows myself because that's where we can all see and have it on TV. Here's Bill. Look at Uncle Bill. He's dead. Look at Hillary. Same thing. You know, on down the line, they're all dead. How about that governor from Georgia? Where is it? Is it Georgia? No, Virginia. Bang, he's dead. I mean, this should start happening right now. We should be seeing this on TV immediately because these people are selling us out. And in reality, they're doing it because they get a lot of money for doing what they're doing. And they say, don't worry about it. We'll protect you. You won't get touched. But, man, your bank account will be awesome. You know, and where are they getting that money to put in that bank account? From us, from the taxpayers, as they call we're called now.
Yeah, what does the Proverbs say?
Slaves,
Proverbs
not taxpayers.
Proverbs says, when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the people moan. Well, Proverbs
moaning.
Come true.
We're moaning. Lots of people I know are moaning.
The whole world's moaning. The whole world is in travail waiting for what? The sons of God to be manifested. All right?
That's right.
There you go. That's it in a nutshell. The whole world's moaning because the sons of God are still sitting on their ass, polishing up their carbines, counting how many bullets they have, and the answer is in the streets, rounding these bastards up and shooting them. Period. That's it.
That's
so
right.
As soon as the sons of God decides that enough of this bullshit and this criminality needs to be put to bed and they're ready to go to the streets, then it'll get changed.
Well, Pastor,
What did the Founding Fathers say? When the government fears you, it's liberty. When you fear the government, it's tyranny. So how does it feel to live
right
under
now.
Tyranny? Huh?
Because I'm saying, why are these guys out here burning up fence? We should just go shoot them.
Well, they're burning up democratically controlled cities. They can burn them all to ground as far as I'm concerned. When they come into the suburbs, they're going to find bullets. Okay? When they come into the suburbs, that's when the bullets are going to fly.
Well, I know
that right now, they're attacking democratically controlled areas. Well, they can burn all of them to the ground. I don't care.
Pastor,
when
we
they
just
come into the suburbs where our people live, that's when the bullets have to start flying.
Pastor, we just took a trip for a month. We got it, we had to cut it short because our car broke, but we went up to Utah, Idaho, Montana, and on the eastern coast of Washington. All them people in Utah and in Idaho especially, they don't have that problem. Why? Because everybody is walking around, they're carrying, they're packing. You can see it right there on their side, got a pistol. And they flat say they come in here, they're going to shoot them. They've promised them that. But now how come in those states they're not being attacked? Because the people are armed, and the people will shoot you. You know, well, what about the government? They don't like that. Well, they'll shoot the governor. That's the way these people are. As a matter of fact, in Idaho, they're going for a recall on a Republican governor because he wanted to follow the law and have more masks and all this stuff. These people weren't going to go for that. So they're going to recall the governor. They're doing it what they call a civilized way. To me, civilization is you hang that son of a bitch. He did not follow his oath. He took an oath to office. He's not following it. He's following a bunch of Jews. You know, let them do what you should. Let the Jews know you hang the son of a bitch. They might think, wait a minute, they might hang us. That's right.
Well,
you go playing
right.
Around
so,
like.
But we're at the 3-hour mark. I got to close it up.
Amen. My wife, I was just going to say, she's cooking breakfast and it's done. So, going to go eat our oatmeal and thank God for Pastor Dan. You know, I've been listening to you for 20 years now, so you must be doing something right. Okay, yeah, but
that's the only protection I have is stay as right as I can be. So, you and Elka have a great breakfast. Thanks for calling in, Gary. Yahweh bless.
Yahweh bless. Bye-bye.
All right. Let's see here. I don't know. My program is froze up. That's nice. Okay. Let's see. Okay. Oh, very good. Let's see. Now, a little bit slow. Oh, Lordy. Okay. Sorry it went so long, folks, but that happens sometimes, and if I had lots and lots of time, I would put a table of contents out for my videos showing you the different timestamps for the different items talked about, but we're kind of all over the map with the things we talk about, so that makes it kind of difficult to do that. Again, this is extemporaneous material, and because of that, a lot of times it just goes as the Spirit flows. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share your truths with our brethren, both here live and for those that listen later on. We know that this word is going out across the earth. We can tell because it is percolating up through the masses, and we're showing signs of it popping up in all kinds of video content and articles, etc. Because these are your truths. They're hard truths. Trust me, Father, I've been a truth seeker since I was a child, and you have beat me up with that truth at times because I was stubborn, and it was a difficult truth, but you knew in my heart of hearts I've always wanted the truth, no matter if it hurts, no matter if it's hard, and if I have to dig, then I'll do the digging, I'll do the work. I want to be a willing vessel, and if more of our people would be willing vessels, this thing could be turned around in a hurry. So, Father, this is your show. This is your earth. You are our Father Creator, and we are not contesting a thing. Nothing. We are the pot, and you are the potter. And so, as clay, you mold us. You mold this world. You make these things happen. And we look at the positive things that are happening, but we also see that there's a great harm and a great evil that has risen in the world. But we also know the prophet said it, this is exactly what would happen. And so, Father, we're just counting on the day of redemption being very, very soon. We pray that your Holy Spirit would awaken all people on this earth to the dangers of these Bolshevik communist Jews and the nefarious deeds that they're doing. And that is also happening. So we see that the prophecies are coming to pass. We pray for your to return soon, Father, and sit upon the throne as our monarch, as our leader, as our ruler. The only one worthy of ruling over mankind is the Creator himself. And we were fools, our ancestors were fools when they walked away from you and demanded an earthly king. And we've been suffering under that kind of dictatorial, man-made manipulation for many millennia. It's time to put it to an end. We now repent of our foolishness and that of our ancestors, and we ask your forgiveness, and we beg you, Father, to come back. Come back and sit upon that throne and be our righteous and loving King, Father, instead of these monsters that walk amongst us and pretend to be government when they're actually a disease. Walk with us, guide us, give us good discernment to see through the multitude of lies and deception that are out there. Give us a stiff backbone to stand tall and true. And awaken your people, Father. Awaken all the earth to the dangers that are right around the corner. And also awaken them to the fact that you are a magnanimous leader and that you have love in your heart for all of mankind if they love you and obey you. Teach that simple truth to everybody out there. We ask and pray for your guidance on a daily basis, and we ask that you would protect us from our enemies. And we ask this in the name of our Heavenly Father, Yahweh. Hallelujah.